And we return with another session in the third season of our Of Steam, Steel, and Murder game. This is session 4 all-in-one recording, so it is a little longer than usual. The players were Jameis, Richard, Steven, and reintroducing Katie. Longtime listeners will remember Katie is a player of Samantha Jenkins from our very, very early shows. Samantha goes on to marry Joshua Dare and is currently the First Lady of Metapole. So I call this one the First Lady of Metapole, session 4 of the third season of Steam, Steel, and Murder. Enjoy. All right, well, we are back with another Steam, Steel, and Murder Season 3. This will be Session 4. We have some returning players and one returning player from long, long ago. So we'll start off just by introducing the players and characters. I'm just going to go by who I see on screen first. Introduce Jameis. Who are you playing today?
Hi, this is Jameis. I'm playing Roland Biggles. He's an ex-pilot from the British Air Force. He's ex because he's drunk. He's drunk most of the time. And that's pretty much all he really wants to do, get out of life, is just be drunk. And being in the Checker seems to facilitate that quite easily.
Because you heard they're a great bunch of drunken guys, apparently.
No, they just don't care.
Richard.
Hello, I am Richard. I will be playing Warren Fernand, the hard-drinking freelance war correspondent. Yes, I will be. We're not all drunks, I tell you.
All right, and Katie, who may be muted. Are you with us, Katie?
What?
Introduce yourself and your character.
I think my thing cut out while the previous person was talking. Uh-huh. Okay, so I am Katie. I played in the very beginning, and I will be reprising my role of Samantha Jenkins, who is now Samantha Jenkins Dare, apparently. She is super sweet. She's short. Apparently, she married Joshua Dare while I was gone, and that has introduced her to this lovely lifestyle, which she has gotten really used to. And since being married to him, thanks to her kind and generous husband, she's gone to college and become a linguist. Anything else?
Oh, that'll work just fine, considering that the world politics have changed considerably. And having a linguist in the family is probably a very good thing. Right, and Stephen.
Hello, I'm Stephen. This is the sound of my voice. Try not to swoon too much. But I will be playing Vernon Woodwright. Vernon is an old carpenter, master of his craft, but he lost his shop during a bombing incident, you know, as the city has.
As it does.
And, you know, not wanting to start over working for other people, he turned to the Cheka and plied his trade there. And he's picking up the craft while, you know, our old dogs learn new tricks. Or at least that's what he's aiming to prove.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say, unable to get, because his job was destroyed, he decided to turn to a life of crime.
Cheka, same thing.
Yeah, more just, official crime.
Just legalized crime.
There you go. By the state, yes. All right, so it has been a few months since the majority of you have been on your last case, the Cabin in the Woods incident.
Which we got promoted from that, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
Had to heal up, got stabbed after all.
Did we get promoted or did we just pass?
Oh, no. You were promoted.
Oh, okay.
Good promotion.
Yes. Good for us.
Pretty much. And so you've had a little bit of downtime. The open leads that are still going on, trying to find out who is collecting these art pieces, is still going on full swing. You guys are being kept in the loop, but haven't really been tapped for anything since that last incident. So you all are about to knock off for the evening. It's a Saturday. You are all in the office just a little bit to do some paperwork, nothing fancy. Maybe even avail yourselves of the gun range, as you now have the ability to pack firearms. That's part of what you got as your increase promotion. In rank. Yes, your promotion comes with a gun.
I'm only here because I accidentally left my flask here.
Yes, have mercy on Metapole that you're armed now. But before you're able to actually leave for the day, your commanding officer stops in, closes the door behind him, and says, folks, I hope you didn't have plans for tonight. Something's just come up.
I close the drawer to my flask.
Yes. Samantha, you're not here just yet.
I stopped carving the little wood idol. Sewing.
Right. So, I assume that all of you have in your kit some formal attire, yes? Black suit, tie, top hat?
Not that formal, but I mean, I've got a suit.
We need
possible.
That I usually wear.
We need top hats now?
Wait, no, I was a front
the other guy.
I've got my army uniform. That's about as formal as we got.
Magician right. Uniform, yeah. He pulls out, starts writing on a pad, tears it off. He says, well, you lot report down to acquisitions after this and get fitted for proper tuxedos. You will be the guest tonight of a certain charitable organization that is presenting Miss Dare, our first lady, with a very... looks like he's not sure if this is true. A guest award for charitable contributions. How you lot come into this? Well, the pieces of art that have been brought to our attention, I believe, by you all. He looks over a list. Makes a check mark. We believe that one of the items on this list will actually be presented to Miss Dare tonight. This is information we just came across, routine inspection to make sure that no one was trying to poison and or kill our First Lady, of course. We're not certain of this information, but we'd like you to tag along with Miss Dare tonight, just in case there's anything dodgy going on. He looks at his wristwatch. You've got about 6 hours.
Okay. Before the thing? So
yes.
Before you go anywhere, I want to check his ID, because I checked his ID. I checked people's IDs in the first two games that we did, and then I didn't check them in the third, and then when I didn't check them, they weren't checker. So everybody I come across who claims to be the checker, I am checking their ID, even if I met them before.
Yes, this is your commanding officer who wears his ID quite prominently on his shirt, so you can lean down and check it yourself.
Yeah, good. I make sure. I don't care who they are. I check their ID. I check my ID as well to make sure.
He takes a sniff of your breath just to see how you're standing tonight.
Well, if he is standing tonight, then obviously it's enough.
So he check out Warren. Vernon is likewise suspicious.
Looks okay to me right now.
He hands over a receipt for you to get fitted for proper attire, and he also hands over just a very thin folder. This is the information that we were able to compile on such short notice. I will stress that this is a fairly delicate affair. We don't want to go treading in with our normal boots, as it were. We're not going to be able to, we'll have some check agents available to you, but we don't want them too much visible. This is a very political affair. The Metapole Ladies Charity Trust, or Charitable Trust.
And you chose us. Why?
Hey, you're in the building, and you're already connected to this case.
I point to the guys. We got to remember to get out more often.
I don't know what you're talking about. I go out every night.
Now, at this charitable trust, open bar?
I was going to ask that self-same question. Well done.
I'm sure you will find all you need in the folder. Right. Now, make a good showing, gentlemen. You will be escorting our First Lady tonight. Keep that in mind.
All right. Vernon takes the folder as, sadly, he's the most responsible of the three. He's found he can't keep up with these young drinkers anymore. He tried, but he finds it's just not worth it. So he opens the folder, flips through it, reads pertinent information.
All right. There's not a lot to it. It's a single thin sheet that it was apparently by the time mark compiled less than an hour ago. It seems that one sharp-eyed individual that was assigned to checking out the is going to be a Pasternax above Metapole. You know, the five-star dining in the dirigible that is stationed above Metapole. The routine inspection, just since anyone of importance, whenever they go to an event, they have now included the fact that it needs to be swept for bombs and or potential life-ending artifacts. While nothing in this realm was found, the painting that's going to be part of the gift that the Ladies Charitable Trust, hereby known as the MLCT, will be presenting to Miss Dare. They expect about 30-some-odd people on the guest list. Some names are there. Others were open invitation to basically the aristocracy and the higher-ups in the guild. Some other prominent names are both Jennifer and Agatha Bishop will be attending. So, yes, Mr. Bishop's wife and daughter.
Wow.
He named his daughter Agatha.
Oh, hey, guys, that Bishop guy's wife is going to show up.
And his daughter.
and his kid.
They are the most notable personages on the list. There are other, a few, mostly wives of a lot of the guild members, especially the higher-ups. In particular, the presenter, it's a four-woman board. The first one, Harriet Jonas, is the wife of an in-resident ambassador from Denmark, and is the other person of note.
Harriet.
Otherwise, it basically reads a who's who in Metapole society. Anyone that keeps up with the society pages will know a few more names on this list.
Nope.
So, yes, about 30 guests. It's going to be at Pasternak's. They have rented the entire place for the evening. It is going to be catered by their excellent five-star chef.
And I may assume you're reading this out to us, Vinan?
Yep, and then I turn over the sheet, hoping that there's a back written on it.
Unfortunately, there's not.
I hold it up, hang open the folders, see nothing's hidden inside.
I might have missed this, but it possibly blacked out or something. But does it mention what the artwork is that we're supposed to be dealing with?
In this case, the guy just put in a short description of it, which is, once again, a scene, nature scene. Looks like it's height of summer, as there's many things in bloom. In the background is a windmill. It has, by the painter Gustav, which is apparently a person who has painted several of the paintings on the list.
Was he happen by chance the painter of the last painting?
Yes, he was.
Ah. Yeah, landscape. Windmill. Mm-hmm. Summer. Mm. Probably any other paintings set to be on display at the event? Or
no, not
just
at all.
This one?
This is actually going to be a gift to Miss Dare.
So
we've got a nick it on behalf of the chica, so we can examine it. Is that what we're doing?
And the other thing that's included is the checklist that the chica now go over whenever they're checking events. It's basically, we have checked these things, which include air ducts, cars, kitchen. We have looked for these particular types of bombs. We have scanned these particular frequencies. This checklist, of course, is made out by, you know, our favorite knife in the face stabbing Cheka agent before he retired.
I think that describes most Cheka agents, doesn't it?
Mr. Marlowe.
I'm glad you narrowed it down.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, the details are thin, and you don't have much time.
All right, boys, I'm going to take a nap. You load up the flask. Let's get fitted for tuxedos.
All right, and then we'll meet at the bar. Go from there.
Yeah, bar at Pasternak's, I suppose.
Assuming we're all going down to the same place.
Yep.
Fitted, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're talking while we're walking.
There you go. Right. On your way down, Samantha, you have been notified that you will be accompanied tonight, partially for protection. You always usually have to take some people with you. But you are also made aware of the fact that a certain painting that you're being presented with might be instrumental in an ongoing case. So you're filled in on these details as well. They're not certain of this, but there is some suspicion. You're down here to make sure that your accompaniment is properly attired, as the last goons they sent you scared pretty much the whole organization away. Very few people wanted to talk to you. A few people actually went running and screaming from the building.
We check out what they expect.
They're lucky they didn't all get right. The apes in armor.
Yes. So you're being presented tonight by the Metapole Ladies Charitable Trust, which is a collection of ladies in prominent positions through the city who take upon themselves certain charitable contributions that they raise funds for. They've been known to build hospitals, and as several hospitals get bombed here, orphanages.
People die. It's funny.
Yes. Skill and labor camps for those that are looking to better themselves and to acquire new skills. And various other charitable benefits.
Oh, schools and labor camps. That's what we're calling it nowadays, right?
Yes. And so as Joshua's kind of you're kind of the public relations part of the marriage. The populace love you. You do a lot of public engagements, and you really do a lot for the different charities, as opposed to just the perfunctory, yes, here's some money, do something with it. You are engaged with the community. You also know that Jennifer Bishop will be there, who's kind of a rival. You two don't get along very well.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. For two women that must be catfighting.
Well, no, it's more that the bishops are, he was elected to basically what you would call the citizens political group, like the people that are non-guild. And there have been a lot of tension between the guild and the non-guild lately, because the guild, all of Metapol has become very, very much a police state with lots and lots of kind of shouting it over to make it seem like a good thing. Like they run commercials of the Cheka, you know, being your friends, even as they're, you know, showing them kicking down a door and invading someone's house.
And there's a television series, I believe.
Yes. Yes. There's like a television series like CSI involving the Cheka. So yeah, this is kind of the state of the place. And it's something that your character may or may not agree with. Dare himself isn't quite sold on the idea, but given the state of the world right now, it's kind of necessary. And especially with how many city-ending threats have happened to Metapol lately, they've really had to do something like this to secure the area. So your job has been largely trying to not necessarily get people to accept or love what's going on, but try to ease what tension you can. Okay. Metapol is still
make it a little bit of a better place.
Yes, as best as you can. So you're waiting down here to find out who they're going to shackle you with this evening. And you're looking over, you know, what's available in the gear department. They have several very well-cut dress attire for the members that will hopefully be showing up shortly. And
okay, I'm sitting here going through the clothes, wrinkling my nose at that one. Maybe at this one we kind of put it to the side. Oh, no, not that one. And this is what I'm doing as they come in, I guess.
Yes. And then you see them. The motley group enters. Samantha is here. She's already looking like she's picking through some clothing for you guys.
Huh.
You're Mrs. Dare.
Well, she might be.
Say,
let me check your papers. Yes, check your ID first, please.
Oh, it's over in my bag. Go, whatever, if you have to. Let me see. I just grabbed the closest one next to me. Come stand in front of me. Let me see. I'm holding up suits to whoever I grabbed. Who's closest?
Vernon.
Okay. Hello, sir. And you are?
Vernon Woodwright, Miss Dare. And Vernon is old enough to be Dare's father. He probably actually has a daughter her age. He does have a daughter her age.
Call me Samantha. Call me Samantha.
Mrs. Samantha Dare.
All right. So let's see. All right, here. Go try this one on. And I'm going to just hand him whatever I was looking at. Something nice.
He checks to... Being a rather large individual, tall and broad, he checks to make sure if it's roughly the fitting size. So.
Oh, it's fine if you like tails and a cummerbund.
Oh, don't you worry, Mr. Vernon. I have a very good eye for these things. I'm hurrying you into a dressing room. Okay, I'm done with you next.
Hello, ma'am. I'm Ronald Biggles.
Hello, Mr. Biggles.
As a pilot, he used to be in fine form, but now not so much. He's got a bit of the red cracked nose from drinking too much. Bloodshot eyes. Gone to pot a bit.
Smoker's cough, too.
All right. All right, Mr. Biggles, as she says, taking a almost imperceptible step back, wrinkling her up a little bit. Okay, let's have you try this one on. And she grabs something in a very nice brown.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you done checking what you needed to check, Mr.?
Warren Fernand, ma'am. I tell you, I've been on the front lines and seen horrors, but I've never seen anything quite like what was the contents of your bag.
Yes, I find... quite useful to be prepared.
Yes, she is who she says she is. You two have left the area.
You also note that she apparently also qualifies to have a gun, as you find both permit and gun.
All right. Yes, I'm free to be suited, I guess.
I'm going to do a quick walk around. All right, here, I'm going to have you try this on. And I eventually pick out similar shades of brown with blue accents for my bodyguards here.
Go off to get changed, then.
Do they fit? Do they fit, gentlemen?
Her eye is impeccable and could not be mistaken in the slightest increment. Of course they fit.
The other thing you guys will notice about your uniform, as they are issued by the Cheka, is they actually do have gun holsters that are fitted to you with the suits, so they do not leave unsightly bulges.
And they also have holes that have been repaired.
Yes, they have bullet holes that have been repaired. There's also a number of internal pockets that are easy to reach.
Good, I'll put a flask in mine.
Yep.
Hello.
Designated flask pouch. Pouch.
Hello.
Hello again. Wow. Yes, we lost. Nobody else noticed.
Yeah, we can hear you, Kim.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. I don't think she can hear us.
Well, we have a momentary pause. But was the Metropole Ladies Charitable Trust set up by Sharon?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was that much. Yeah.
Kitty?
Hello?
Okay.
Can you hear us?
There we go.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. My phone dropped you guys, I think.
Uh-huh. You're okay. Playing on your phone, huh?
Yeah. I've got Skype on my phone and then the computer for the other stuff because headset doesn't get good range if it's plugged into the computer, and I have to be able to do child stuff.
Fair enough. As I was saying, so there are a number of internal pockets on these suits where you will be able to secrete things if you wish. So they are made for assignments. Lots of roominess.
I don't know. If your gun isn't making an unsightly bulge, you don't have a big enough gun.
I showers. And I will have a car come get you when it's time to go.
Yes. So about, we'll say this all takes about an hour for you to get fitted, etc. So 5 hours from now is when you're due to arrive.
Oh, that'll be barely enough time to get myself ready.
Well, gentlemen, nap time.
You're never going to a
bit of food for myself before the evening begins.
Never going to a story unarmed. I would like to have a look to see if we know anything about these people. Just a quick look through the check of files.
Quick question, Richard. Are you happen to be recording as well, Richard?
Yes, I do.
Good, because I think I just lost the first 15 minutes.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay.
I should also be recording.
Good, everybody. All right, so one at a time. Richard, what does your character do?
I was just going to go and have a quick look through the check of files to see if we've got anything on the people mentioned at all who are going to be at the MLCT.
Sure, no problem. Jameis, what's Mr. Biggles doing?
Do we actually have guns to put in the holsters?
Yes, you do.
Excellent. After securing it somewhere where I can get it back easily, I go fortify myself in the nearest bar.
Okay, heading to a bar. Vernon.
Vernon, despite saying he was going to take a nap, gets his gear, loads up his investigator bag, which is kind of like a large doctor's bag, but has a few woodworking tools and investigation materials, and goes over to the Pasternak's gondola, because there's only one, and stakes the place out.
All right. You want to go and you want to check the place out, like physically enter, or just kind of take a look around without entering?
Well, there's only one gondola that goes up to Pasternak's and back down, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So basically, he positions himself so where he can watch the comings and goings of the gondola.
Okay. Fair enough. And what is Samantha doing?
In
the meantime.
Samantha would like to be also kept up or brought up to speed on the painting and all of that stuff.
Okay, so you're going to look into the files about the painting itself. All right, so Biggles goes into his favorite watering hole. Do you have a name for your favorite watering hole, Mr. Biggles? It could just be the cantina in the building, which.
Well, I assume actually the Chico probably got their own watering hole nearby.
It's the cantina in the building because the booze is free.
Oh, there you go. That works for me.
And most likely to get attacked.
That too. All right, Richard, you're going to check the list of guests. So there are 30 invites. Whether or not they will all show is uncertain because you don't have access to the list of those who actually
RSVP'd.
Yes, exactly. So, of course, yes, the Cheka has files on all these people as they are prominent individuals. Jennifer Bishop, along with her husband, do have a substantially thick file because, as you, the player, might remember, Jennifer has a background as working for the British Secret Service. Yes. And Bishop has been pretty active in the political arena lately in his championing of the common people.
There's a lot of handwritten notes on Daniel Bishop's file. I keep saying assassinate, and then it's crossed out, and then it's written back on again, and then it's crossed out, and I don't know.
Yes. Each time it's initialed off by Mr. Marlowe. Change my mind, Marlowe. yeah, so basically he's got his whole career with the not the checkup, but the investigative branch on there. Jennifer's is a little, you don't have a complete listing of hers because, of course, the Brits haven't given up all of her background. It's just what the checkup been able to put together. She's apparently no longer in service, but that has not been confirmed.
I was going to say quote marks.
Yeah. The presenter, the head of the MLCT, is the wife of Arnbjørnis Jonas, who is the ambassador from Denmark. They've been here for about a year now. And she has been keeping herself busy by doing the charitable society while he is often caught up in guild affairs. There are a couple of personalities for the radio and kinetoscope shows. Not a lot on them. Nothing really in the background there that's that the checkup taken really anything of interest in.
When you say personalities for the radio and not kaleidoscope.
Performers, actors.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought you were still talking about Harriet Jonas having been on things.
Oh, no.
Right, okay. So just actors, etc. Okay.
So, yeah, really nothing in the guest list that sticks out other than, Jennifer is the one that has several flags on her portfolio, but otherwise no one else really sticks out.
Okay. And these tickets that we've issued, are they for the specific people or are they for specific person plus one?
Specific people plus ones, oh, yes. Okay.
So there's still going to be a bunch of people I won't necessarily recognize. Wait. As I said, I was just casting a quick eye over it, so I'm done.
Yeah. That's good. Nothing really comes out. You do notice they have included a flyer for the event. Apparently there is a live orchestral band that will be performing during the meal.
Hmm. All right.
And I'm sure you want to do some digging on them. They've got a pretty good track record. They have several billings across Europe before a lot of the troubles began. Since then, they've been on tour. They performed several times in Metafol, gotten some very good ratings. They do a lot of modern music, which is kind of big band and swing music right now.
Hmm. And have they done a lot of work in Germany? Or have they been in it too?
They have been, yeah, before the troubles.
Before
they've been around, as far as you can tell, they've been around as a group together for a good 5 years.
Okay, so it would have to be a long-term plan if anybody was placed in there if it was 5 years before.
Yep.
Okay, interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and let's see, Warren. Hello. Okay, good. People muted. Warren, you are, or Vernon, sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's, yes.
You are sticking out the gondola. This ahead of time, there's not a lot going on. Pasternak's has got a big sign out front that says close for private party. And there are some people, there is fresh food being brought in. This food has already been pre-checked by the Cheka. So it's being brought in from a holding facility where they've already checked the food to make sure it's all, you know, nothing dodgy about the food. And you can see that the food is being escorted by Cheka agents to make sure that it's not tampered with on the way.
And I make notes of who I observe going in and making sure they come back out again.
Sure. Okay.
While, you know, reading a paper, taking some coffee, occasionally whittling.
Mm-hmm.
As you do. I think that's about it. I don't see anybody coming in suspicious-like, but I have a nice list of people who have gone up and who have not come back down, potentially.
Sure. Along with the Czech agents all have numbers that can be seen through your monoculars on their left shoulders.
Yes, they will be checked against IDs later.
Right. All right, so you do that for a while. And Samantha, you there, Katie?
Yes.
Okay. So checking up on the paintings, there are four paintings on the list of objects that a prior investigative group had come up with that have been there's somebody or some group that have been trying to acquire them. Okay, so this painting, they're not certain is one on this list, but the artist, going by the name of Gustav, is also the painter of the painting you'll be receiving tonight, as well as three other paintings on the list that you're looking at here. They're all of pastoral scenes.
I'm receiving four paintings?
No, you're receiving one painting tonight, but the list that you're looking at, which is a list of items that some group is trying to acquire these items. There are four paintings on this list, and the painting you will be receiving tonight may be one of them.
Okay.
The paintings are all oils. They're all of basically landscape scenes.
Okay.
And they believe that the paintings contain information in some way, either in the portrait themselves, possibly in the frames, even possibly in how the artist rendered the painting. So that's why, at least that is the idea that they've come up with as to why somebody might want this collection of paintings. There's also some statuary and jewelry on this list as well.
Do we know anything about the artist?
You don't. He signs the paintings as Gustav, G-U-S-T-A-V. He is a fair hand. The paintings are all very professional looking. His art has cropped up over the last couple of years, being collectible, highly collectible.
Okay.
Nothing's really known about him, though.
Okay. Is the painting just being given to me because I'm so wonderful, or is it part of a trying to lure them out?
No, the painting's actually being given to you as a gift from the charitable trust.
Okay.
How they got a hold of it or why they chose this painting, you don't know.
Okay.
When your security detail basically went to do all the preliminaries on this, you know, they asked to see what was being given to you. This painting was presented. And one of the agents happened to notice that it shared the artist's name with a similar name on this list of items.
Okay. Well, not a whole lot there.
Nope.
Okay. Do I, as a player, need to know anything particular about history that I've missed?
Other than the fact that and your character would know this as well, why this is of import and why they're sending along a group with you is because people have already been killed over the items on this list to have them acquired.
All right. So I get three wonderful gentlemen to watch me because yes. They're giving me a hot painting.
Okay. If you look into the details, you'll find out that we were responsible for killing the people that were killed and due to getting this stuff.
Yes, their names will probably show up on the paperwork that you're looking at. They're the investigators that were involved with the first few items on the list that have been acquired.
Okay. Oh, wow. This should be a fun night. And when I'm done looking all this up, I'm going to go get ready.
Sure. All right. We will fast forward to when the cars have already stopped by your residences to pick you up. Samantha, of course, has her own driver who is combat trained and has often doubled as a bodyguard. Your husband is away currently out of Metapole entirely.
Okay. So I'm holding down the fort.
Yes, you are holding down the fort.
Okay.
All right. So we will, everyone will arrive at the garage below Pasternak's.
And Vernon is there waiting for them.
Well, I was picked up at the, at the Checker place. Basically, when after going on for the duds, I just stayed in there and got wind drinking.
Great. So your brand new duds smell of smoke and liquor already.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so you guys meet up in the, it's basically an underground parking garage right below Pasternak's. They have a elevator down here where you go directly up to the blimp.
In the elevator, I am adjusting people's clothes, spraying some perfumes, making them look presentable.
Vernon has managed to stay neat and tidy. Probably the only one of the three.
I didn't know that Warren was doing anything too exciting.
Well,
he was stationed watching someone with watching the place with binoculars. Oh no, Warren was. Yeah, no, that's right.
So. Well, I mean, I've probably got dust and stuff on me over because of the file. Thanks. And I probably took my jacket off because it's too hot. And I loosened my tie or cummerbund or whatever I've got. Mm. It's too hot to research. And I've got ink stains on my fingers now, and
Yeah.
Well,
Vernon holds up his pad. I staked out the gondola going up. Warren, you might want to check IDs on these individuals. And hands him a list.
I want to check the IDs on these individuals anyway. And what I found out very briefly, and I give you a brief overview of what I've just learned from the live officer, actors, etc., etc.
Did I happen to see the band go up, or do I presume they're already up there?
Nope, they did not go up while you were staking out.
Band, I mentioned as much. The band's probably already up there if they're, because I haven't seen them come up. And they have to do setup.
Well, we should have a look over it just in case.
Right. I turn over to Biggs. Biggs, be yourself. Mm-hmm. Draw as much attention for me and Warren as possible.
Something he's good at. Yes. All right. So the elevator reaches the docking center of the Zeppelin. The elevator is like an open glass. I mean, so you see the city, rise below you as you're going up. Anyone that's got problems with heights, this is probably not a good experience. Otherwise,
look at the pilot.
I think I'm fine.
You are a former pilot. Maybe you have problems now.
Sorry, I just had a thought. The actors and people who are turning up, are any of them the people from the Checker?
Nice. Sure.
That'll be good. We can show them how it's really done. Yep.
The guy who over dramatically pulls off his glasses when he's inspecting something, it's he's there.
All right.
Yes. The check of propaganda. We'll show them how it's really done.
All right, so the elevator comes.
Probably don't need to tell you, Warren, but I assume you'll ask to make sure, just to see if anyone's suddenly checked in sick or something and had to be replaced.
I haven't asked yet because we're not quite up there, but I will.
I assume you will ask.
And thanks for reminding me, all the same.
All right, so when you get up, the place is all set up for a banquet. There are trays being set up now. The food is being set up on a very large buffet-style table. There is the Metapole Ladies Charitable Trust has a big flyer over the auditorium size. This is a very tall area and lots of windows to bring in lots of light. there is a maitre d' here on a podium who comes forward, a very large smile on his face. He's got an elegantly greased mustache curled up on the ends, impeccable white attire where not even a single grain of dust would dare sully it as he marches forward to greet the group. Oh, Miss Dare! Please. And he unhooks the velvet ropes to let you and your guests in. And he takes you to your table. He removes the placard that says Dare's Party. Other guests are already here, mingling. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying thank you to the person. Being polite, because I am.
Yes. He's very professional and tries not to be too much of a fanboy, so he pushes it down and just gives you a very, very deep bow and steps aside. So the talking has already started. Many people are around. The champagne is already flowing. The band is setting up now. Just some light music is being played as they're tuning up their instruments. They've got one of the newfangled Babbage pianos. They make a whole host of interesting sounds. Saxophone pairs, clarinetists. It's five people, but they all play a variety of different instruments, and they're lining them all up. It's quite an interesting looking setup. Looks like through various pieces, they will all play different instruments. Right now, the pianist is just going through some very light chamber music as he's testing out the sound levels. And as you're getting your bearings and you've been directed to your seat, let's see here. Harriet Jonas, the head member of the MLCT, comes to greet you. It's like, oh, my dear, it's been so long. She does the kissy cheek thing in the air.
Oh, Harriet, my dear, how are you?
Oh, very well, very well. You know how this Metapole nights don't agree with me with all the fog and the pollution in the air. Oh, yes, I know. These modern cities, it's just something one has to live with.
Wait, what pollution and fog is there? I thought everything was Tesla Vorgas power.
Yes, that's why it has all the fog in the air.
It's still burning.
Remember,
coal.
Remember, Metapole is... Yeah, Metapole has a lot of... especially at night, there's a lot of fog. Not really a lot in the way of like pollution, but there's a lot of fog, making it very difficult to navigate at night.
I had forgot.
Light pollution.
Yep. But yes, coal burning plants, you know, that does produce a bit of nastiness as well.
Yes. I'm commiserating over the terrible conditions that we are forced to live in.
But, you know, the wife of an ambassador, we have to put up with such things, as I am sure you know. Please, let me introduce you to some of the guests. She takes you by the arm, and she completely ignores your goons.
Yep.
I give my goons a stern, do not embarrass me look as I am led away.
No promises.
Was that a look to assassinate her? I can't remember my looks quite.
You pull out the book. The official checkup book of looks.
Yeah, she should use the official sign language, not the looks. We're men.
left eyebrow raise with finger gesture means kill this one. There was no finger raise.
Bird, just need your comment.
Yes. I'm sure that yes, this is the conversation that she's about to walk into. We'll get to that in a second. So what are you guys gonna do? You notice that you're not the only
goons
about. There are several other men of the rather broad variety in ill-fitting clothes that look a little uncomfortable in their attire. And they seem to be milling around, most of them hitting the the booze. Unfortunately, at this point, it's almost all champagne.
Biggs, the bar could be poison. Go check that out.
Yes, I do intend to go and avail myself of available liquor.
I start trying to match faces to the ones I observed going up and down.
Okay. Well, one, none of the Czech agents are here because, once again, once the party starts, they don't want to be a presence because they're, yeah, social engagement. They don't want to be too prominent and that sort of thing.
That's why they shoved it off on us.
As far as cooks, busboys, etc., yes, the people that are setting up the food now were the people that were bringing the food up earlier. You're able to confirm that easily enough.
Warren, I don't think the other goons have IDs to check.
Mm. The other set of, quote, goons that you see are quite interesting. They're four young men, probably barely into their teens. And while they are well-dressed, the style is, of course, newer, with the skinny ties. much more hip than your own. They seem to be sitting at a table with the placard that says Bishop on it. Some of the Bishop kids, some of the Bishop's child network that have grown up a little.
Oh, I've heard about these guys. They sell wine to the French.
Yep. Samantha, as you're approaching a group of people, one of the largest group of people, you're starting to hear the tail end of a conversation as Jennifer is remarking to a group of actors about her and says, yes, it's been 4 years now. I wonder why the deer hasn't had a child yet. Hmm? Oh, hello.
Oh, hello, Jennifer. And that polite, but I really don't like you kind of way.
And she gives you the perfunctory greeting as she pulls out. And this is my daughter, Agatha. Agatha's, please say hello to Samantha.
Agatha's like, what, four?
Yeah, she's about four.
She can still talk.
Yeah. The little girl has flaming red hair, and she is dressed to the nines in a gown. A four-year-old, yes, she's wearing a gown. She looks none too happy. She pulls on her mom's dress and says, I want to go back home. Now, your dad's busy tonight. We have to make the public engagements, but he said he was going to take me to the gun range.
I hope Marcus sees this.
Later, Agatha. Later. She pets her.
No, actually, that wouldn't be uncommon because at this point in time, shooting was a family sport.
Not when guns have been out
for, especially like, for
pretty much everything.
Yes.
Yeah, but these are the bishops. It's a family sport.
Well, then it's especially prestigious for the rich and famous.
Yes.
They can go out of town to use guns.
So this is the party where we assassinate the Bishop family, right? That was your whole intent, right?
I don't remember an exact mission statement, come to think of it. protect air, protect painting is all I got out of it, really. It's just the one sheet. The other sheet was missing.
The last entry that Warren read on whether to execute or not execute the bishops was 50-50? Question mark.
Well, we'll do a little bit of those. They don't on the surface sound like insults, but the way they're delivered, they are.
Yes, make me that sounds to me like a clever socialize roll. So you'll roll 4DF. You put the number 4 in that box where it says DF. And hit the roll button. And then you add to that however many points you have in social and however many you have in clever.
Okay, well, both of my social and clever are 2s, so I get a 4 with my -3 there, gives me a positive 1.
Positive 1, okay. So they're not too thinly disguised. Actually, you know, they're clever, but they're obviously barbs.
Come on, it's a battle to the death. Tap your aspects. Tap your aspects.
I'll wait.
No, that's fine. I mean, it comes across socially acceptable, but they're rather, you know, they're rather Barbie. They have thorns, but still within the socially acceptable way of putting things.
They're not just
calling her fat, but I mean, it has been 4 years.
Right, and of course, she will do the same. And she does likewise. She's no more clever. The bad blood runs deeply between the two of you. so much to the fact that some of the passerbys give a wide berth around the two of you. The air is perceptibly chillier in this area. All right, so. Harriet excuses herself, and she goes to a podium where she taps the microphone. Is this on? As the deafening blare rages out across the gathering. Oh, yes, yes. Ladies and guests of the Metapole Ladies Charitable Trust, we are gathered here tonight to make some honorifics and presentations to two exceptional people that have, through the years, have helped our contributions and our chosen charities to the utmost, and we'd like to recognize them tonight. But before we do so, we have a wonderful repast prepared for us by the perfect chefs of Pasternak's. And tonight, and as she says this, the busboys all, put the left hand behind their backs, and they grab the tops of the platters with their right hands as they're getting ready to present this wonderful repast, and they pull it back. And she says, hold on, let me get my notes here real quick.
Let me get ready to pull my gun.
No. This repast is the chef's rendition of a popular favorite upon Metapole currently. Please, everyone, enjoy your meals. Afterwards, we'll have some brief speeches and then the presentations. And she gives a cue to the band, who now, having finished tuning their instruments, start in on a lively little jazz number in the background. And so what the chefs have, or well, not the busboys have revealed on the table are a rendition of Chef D's spicy meatballs.
Oh, God.
Which is currently all the rage in Metapole.
No, past the next score.
Chef D's? With that special sauce he likes so much?
Well, it is their rendition of the same.
All right. Probably doesn't contain the same kinds of ingredients.
Not actually. Might be safe then.
That's why it's the plus one on the invitation. So everybody can eat. I didn't get a chance to do something while everybody else was doing stuff, and I was just going to go and check with the head waiter guy that nobody has called in sick and had to be replaced, as was suggested earlier.
You can easily figure out who the head waiter is, because he's not doing any actual work, he's just ordering everyone else around.
But of course.
Okay, well, seeing as you're not wearing any kind of credentials, he's just assuming that you're one of the...
I am not going anywhere without my check of credentials.
All right, well, are you flashing it, or are you just... Oh, you flash it. Okay, in which case, he will... he stands to attention and says, no, sir, we made sure that no last-minute changes were made in the guest list or the servers list. Everyone who's here has been checked out ahead of time, sir. Just as required by Mrs. Dare's contract. he pulls a notebook out and he shows you all the check marks that are required to have Mrs. Dare at an engagement.
I give him the nod and walk back to the table. That's all I want to do, just a table check out.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we'll disengage with a smile that is not a smile and return back to the table.
Yes, you both do the oh, wonderful to see you. Oh, is that someone in the distance there who is calling me? Oh, yes, I will talk to you. Yes, you do the socially polite disengaging.
He's behind several blocks of ice in the middle of the floor.
Yes. Yes, and immediately the conversations on the floor start. All right, so yes, the music is playing. It's a little faster tempo. A few people are simply dancing, drinks in hand, and haven't gone for any food yet. Many people are loading up on the food. These chefs at Pasternak's are world class, so they're.
Well, it's grub eating time, so Vernon likewise gets a small plate. He has to make the pretense of being a guest here. So he is now at the dare table eating.
Okay.
And he is watching the dancers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continuing to drink my dinner. Mm-hmm. I'll just drop by and say, did she say presenting to two people?
Who do you ask?
The rest of the table, the dare table, the PCs.
I think you're hearing double.
I thought she said presenting to two people.
She did.
No.
So do we get the painting or who gets the painting then?
I thought they said the charitable trust and specifically Mrs. Dare.
Yep, all the paperwork say so, but the paperwork doesn't mention a second person that's being honored.
Yeah, I'm suspicious.
I hope
we know it's going to be here.
Sorry, go ahead, Candy.
Probably. Huh?
Oh, sorry, you were getting talked over. What were you saying?
Oh, no, it's okay. I just harumphed. Mumble under my breath something unkind about it's probably Jennifer.
Do you want somebody to go over there and talk to Mary Jonas to see who this is?
Actually, information is always welcome. Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Your idea, go for it.
All right, you head on over. Harriet is at her table with the other three women that make up the MLCT, and they're plus ones. Looks like nobody brought their husbands tonight, or the husbands found something better to do. all right, so you go and do that. As far as Stephen, Vernon is chowing down. It's actually really good. It may look like Chef D's street fare, but it certainly tastes a lot better.
Aha! This will allow me to drink more later.
Mm-hmm.
Tea, that is, because old man can't keep up with the young upstarts.
Right. And what is, what's Biggles doing?
I am actually planning to take up a partner if one is available and go attend on the dance floor.
Yes, all the beautiful people are dancing with their champagne glasses. Because, of course, they don't eat. but, yes, the actress that plays on the Cheka television special or kinetoscope special is just finishes with a dance partner.
If you're free, my lady. Okay. Turn on the dance floor.
Let's see if you are at all recognizable. You've been in the paper a little bit recently.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. She recognized you as somebody that she should be nice to. Yes, she will condescend to dance with Mr. Biggles. Is Mr. Biggles any good at dancing?
I am flashy. I am really good at flashy. What sure. I don't seem to do is spot where my skills are.
Sounds like a flashy and socialized to me. Or possibly a flashy in athletics if you're just trying to make a good show of the dance. Socialize if you're trying to kind of fit in and make some witty remarks here and there.
Let's see if I can quickly find if I've got my character somewhere with the actual.
He has plus twos of socialize.
I do?
Yes.
Oh, okay, brilliant. I got plus two fleshy as well.
Yep, plus one quick and forceful, plus one athletics. Combat and discovery. I'm reading it off of the forums, the Blue Magic forums, which everybody should join up to.
I'm looking there too, and I can't find where I've got the skilled stuff. Oh, it'll be over there in the hex. And the hex, it'll be in the hex thing.
Yes, it's in the hex.
Glad to print it and update my character to be that. All right, yep, I've got +2 socialize and +2 fleshy. There we go.
Give us a roll.
+4. Roll -4. Nope, that's a +2. That's a +1, so it's a 5.
Oh, wow. No, you are both charming and adept as you whirl her around the dance floor in some of the newest dance steps.
he succeeded with style, I think it's called.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, you have impressed those around you.
So, it's the liquor, you see, it loses the mind.
Oh, pity I didn't say I was trying to create an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Well, you basically, I'm going to give you a boost in kind of social contact here with these people as they applaud. They actually clear the dance room around you.
Because, I'll just say, and you can say whether or not I actually get it or not, if it helps or not. That's courage, it's one of my stunt. Because I am so drunk, I get a +2 to create an advantage when being fleshy.
Nice, okay.
And I am definitely drunk.
There you go. And what is Samantha doing?
She is enjoying the show with Mr. Biggles there and eating her meal. Because it's such a trying endeavor trying to be nice to Jennifer there.
Oh, Jennifer's actually seated. She's actually seated directly across from you on the other side of the room, and she's making a big show to feed her daughter. And every time she wipes a little bit of the food off her daughter's cheek, she looks over at you with these cold eyes.
we're staring icicles at each other.
All right, and Richard, Warren, you head over to the table where Harriet is.
Yeah. Excuse me, ma'am. I need to have a brief word with you. Check a business, I say. Flashing.
Oh, of course, of course. Excuse me, ladies. And the other three get up and they go refresh their cocktails. Have a seat. Oh. I hope that everything is up to the priorities as is set by having Miss Dare here in engagement.
Yeah, I'm not sitting down. I'm keeping the height advantage.
Okay, sure. So.
No, ma'am, it's not.
Genuinely distressed.
You mentioned that you were honoring two people here. We have no record of this. Who else are you honoring? Oh, what's going on?
Yes, yeah, she goes a little white and says, "Oh, I'm sorry. It's just a very minor thing. We are, of course, Miss Dare is the center of
nothing is minor to the check.
The honoring tonight, but we're presenting a small certificate to Jennifer as the runner up in our choice for the year." I have the certificate here. If you'd like to look it over, it's really nothing much. And she hands it over.
Yes.
Yeah, it's framed and it has like it's in like a little case. And basically, it's just the MLCT honoring Jennifer Bishop for her outstanding pursuits and charitable contributions for the year XX.
And you're going to have Jennifer and Miss Dare up there at the same time?
Oh, no. We'll call up. We'll honor Jennifer first, and then we will conclude the night by presenting Miss Dare with this plaque, and she hands it to you to look over. And then behind her on the podium is she points to a covered something. It says, and this painting.
The painting is actually under there right now?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm going to have a quick look at it, ma'am.
Please do.
Just to check that it's still there.
Yeah, she'll come up with you onto the podium, and she'll pull off the cover so you can see it. She's positioning herself so that other people can't get a good look at it first.
I would have just glanced on it anyway, just to check.
It's a remarkable piece. It was donated to the society, and we thought it would make a great gift for our leading lady of the night.
Are you allowing flash photography here for the evening?
Oh, no, of course not. The news are being kept below. They'll, I'm sure, take pictures as people disembark, but you can always go directly to the parking garage if you want to avoid that.
Yes.
Yeah, you do notice that there is no press here unless they happen to also
be Zealot. I look at myself. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Goddamn perfect disguise.
scoop!
And you're guaranteeing me at no time will Jennifer and Mrs. Dare be on that. I just have to make doubly sure of this.
No.
All right. Presumably the certificate's in a frame and it's covered up with glass, etc. Yeah, I'm just checking nobody's going to smash it and then slash people up. Oh, I can see things going badly, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
Paranoid much?
Pays to be.
I'm a member of the Checker. It's not paranoia. It's training.
Trained paranoia.
Yes, okay. thanks for that, ma'am.
Yeah, no.
That's Agatha yelling in the background as her mom tries to feed her some more food.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thanks, ma'am. That's just what I needed to know. Go about your business.
Yes, and immediately the gossip starts. As soon as you leave the table, with the other three come back.
And then I report back to Mrs. Dare, what's going on here? Yep.
And so around this time, the floor is cleared, and your friend Mr. Biggles is cutting a substantial rug. He is...
he was distracting everybody while Warren did his thing.
That's what I'm here for.
And as the music ends for the particular song, everyone claps. The lady that you are just leading on the dance floor reaches over and gives you a peck on the cheek.
I
slip something into your pocket.
Slightly blush, bend down, and kiss her hand. Graciously.
When the next song starts, people get back on the floor, and so you know it continues on. All right, at this point, I would like everybody to make me a.
I don't do that.
Willpower and let's see.
What? Do we have willpower?
Willpower and forceful. Yes, willpower is a skill, or will is a skill.
All right.
Will and forceful. I actually have both. Ha ha!
I have one.
Oh, I got a plus two.
All right.
I have both at zero. This will be fun.
Oh, no. my total is a minus two.
Okay.
Ha ha! Plus one!
Okay, so only Samantha failed? Everyone else rolled?
No, I also failed minus one.
Okay, so the two of you have a very sharp, Samantha and Biggles, right. Both of you have a very sharp stabbing pain between your eyes, like just a very quick headache just came on.
All that alcohol's getting back to me, no.
Oh, I'm going to grab my head and grab the table for just a second. Excuse me, gentlemen, hold on.
Champagne headaches. it's fleeting. It just feels like someone jabbed you with a pen right between the eyes, and then it just happened for a moment, and then over the next few seconds, the pressure relieves and everything's fine. You feel like you have
I stopped drinking. Take another sip.
You both feel like you've got the start of a migraine coming on.
I observed this happening to both of them at the same time.
Yes.
Did I see anybody else doing the same?
Give me a discovery and careful roll.
Discovery is a skill as well? Good grief.
Yeah, I think you actually have that one.
Oh, yeah, I do. Wow. it's been a while since I've used this character.
All right, let's see. Rolling. Woo! Plus two, and I have careful at two and discovery at one, so five.
Yeah, since you thought about it, you got that with spin. Several people on the dance floor and several people at the tables also, you know, you notice the facial expression where they wince and everybody kind of rubs the spot between their eyes. Not everyone in the room, just a few people here and there.
Well, I stand up and excuse myself from the table while I covertly try to find a... Well, you know, enemy action.
Okay, so where are you looking?
I am going to go check over to the sound system.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, it's right there. It's you know, no one's really guarding it. It was just turned on when Harriet was making an announcement. It's off currently. The only other amplification is coming from, the Babbage piano has a small amount of application. They do have things set up for the rest of the instruments, but the hall is small enough that they aren't using them.
The lights are electric as well, right?
Yes,
well,
they are.
Everything's electric.
Everything's electric, so. Yep.
The band is using an amp of any kind? Or
yes, the piano has a small amplification device. You're not sure if it's on. I mean, you know the Babbage pianos typically do have them. If you want to go over and check it out, you know, you can just kind of walk by the band. In fact, it is not on. You know, they've got all the gear there. If they need to amplify, they can, but they're not currently using it because the hall is small enough.
Well, I'll take a quick peek inside. It's like, I've always admired the workmanship on these things.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't seem to mind. He smiles at you as he continues on with the keys. Sure. This is going to take, let's say, mechanics and clever. Now, you're not going to be able to actually take it apart while the guy's playing, but you're going to be able to take a good look over it.
All right, I do have careful at, you said clever?
Clever, yep.
Clever and mechanics. That would be a +3 for me still.
Clever just because you can't actually take it apart. You're just having to look at it.
Hypothesize. I get a +2.
+2. I mean, the thing is particularly advanced. I mean, it has a Babbage computer in it that will make, you know, different synthetic sounds, etc. But right now, he's not really using any of that. He's just using the piano portion of it. So nothing's actually turned on.
Hmm. And I shrug, and I'm not a music player, so Vernon can't determine if the music he has scripted is anything special.
Not really, no.
So not finding anything
it's,
there.
Actually, Vernon will have heard radio because everyone in the building plays radio. So they're playing popular tunes. Everything they're playing is stuff you've heard on the radio before.
Well, yeah, but he can't match the actual music to sheet.
No,
music,
no.
Is what I'm saying. Exactly. I mean, he can hear a tune, but.
Mm-hmm. Actually, nobody's playing by sheet music.
Ah, even better. I really wish my mother had made me take those piano lessons as a child now. Oh, well.
What school would music appreciation come under? What would that be?
Probably discovery. That's the knowledge kind of thing.
Social?
Yeah. Could be social. I could take a...
Social if you have previous musical talents, I would say.
So anyway, while Vernon's poking around, as I said, Samantha and Biggles, the headache, the sharp pain goes away quickly, but you do feel like the oncoming of a good migraine that's imminent.
Is the bandstand close to the painting?
Nowhere near, no.
Okay. I'm going to go and have a quiet word with the head waiter and get some painkillers.
Oh, sure. Some powders, yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I could use the name brands we've got over here, but I don't know if you've got them over there. So, what's
nice.
A generic format?
All right. Go ahead and you give me a a discovery and clever roll.
Bump, that's a -1. That negates my discovery, at least, and I am not clever, so it's a 0.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, certainly. He actually has some on himself. He's actually been, you know, you catch him as he's handing some of it out to some of the busboys who seem to be holding their heads as well. So, sure. He gives you a couple powders.
Something in the wine that you've been...
talking over the music, you know, so he's being a little loud. He says, "Oh, yeah, they may have gone a little cheap on the champagne."
Any particular brand?
He shows you a bottle.
I know that one. Yeah. Come on, dude, know that one.
It is, in fact, a cheap champagne. I mean, it's not it's not toilet water, but yeah, no, it is on the lower end of things. What they make up for
quality. I'll take the bottle and give it a sniff just to make sure it hasn't been spiked or anything, just as far as I can tell.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's got the heavy sulfide smell to it of, not quite as refined as the better brands.
Still, don't get you drunk, that's what I mean.
They have sacrificed quality for quantity. They have cases and cases of the stuff.
I don't want to confiscate that for chicken reasons.
All right.
Well, Samantha's going to rummage through her own bag to get her own painkillers.
Yeah, I was going to bring some back for Samantha as well as myself.
Well, I appreciate that, but just Joshua kind of insists that I don't take too much, that I don't know where it comes from.
Yes, you will have your own.
You know, times are tricky.
Okay. An oddity. It passes very quickly. You two do feel, you'll probably have roaring headaches in the morning, but you feel better now. The music plays on and the food course is taken away to replace by dessert carts that are brought to each table. This time, now that you're kind of looking for it there, Vernon, you do see a few more people that seem to be having headache issues, rubbing between their eyes and kind of shaking it off. It all passes quickly. No one seems the worse for wear.
Just to be clear, Bert, I'm used to this, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem, but I'm not eating anything. I'm just drinking.
Okay. All right.
So since I'm kind of looking for this, can I track any discomforts in the patrons of Pasternak's and see a source of this guy walking by them and they all get headaches? All
I got you. No, it's not localized. It seems to affect groups here and there spread out across the whole establishment.
And other than that, they're all here in Pasternak's. I can't seem to find any connection. Observe one offhand anyway?
Not really, no.
I mean, it's they're not all eating, they're not all dancing.
No real pattern like that. Although you do see that it's some people, you're looking and you'll see some people, hold their heads for a moment, shake it off and just go back to laughing and drinking and dancing. And then a few minutes later, you'll see some different people in different parts of the hall holding their heads, etc. And eventually what's going to happen is that all of you will feel the same thing. You'll get just a very quick stabbing pain between your eyes. And it's gone over the course of a few seconds. And it leaves you feeling fine, although, you feel the beginnings of a pretty bad headache that's going to overtake you at some point. But you feel fine. So over the next half hour, all of you will experience it once.
Could I ask, do I observe anybody not exhibiting these symptoms?
Over the course of the whole half hour, everyone that you have been paying any attention to seems to have, including the band members, Harriet Jonas and her table, everybody, at some point in the next half hour.
Is anybody, given that we've got, a little kid there, I expect the little kid to go, ow, when it happens.
Yep.
Is
yep.
anybody she does. Reacting?
No, because she's been making fussy noises most of the night. Yeah. Now that you're looking at the little kid, you notice the little kid seems to be looking at something in the distance. You kind of follow the gaze of her eye, and it looks like she's just staring into, just an empty pocket of people.
It's just a little kid. I'm sure she doesn't know anything.
You mean a pocket where people aren't?
Have we been informed about T-rays and such?
Ah, okay. Give me a roll. Let's see if you remember anything about T-rays.
That's a minus one on whatever. I don't have clever.
Definitely discovery. It's going to be a clever discovery because it's knowledge that you may remember or may not. So clever discovery.
It does zero all up.
All right. With a zero, you can't recall anything.
To make it clear, I'm not telling anybody about this. This is a stupid kid just staring into space. So, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Why would I tell anybody about the stupid kid of the bishops who's staring into space? We already know Bishop's mentally deficient, so...
May have been passed on to his progeny.
Yeah.
He married well. There's hope for it yet.
Okay. Looks like we may have lost. There she is. Katie's back. Okay, so after desserts, Harriet takes the podium. Microphone's turned on, and she clinks her the crystal of her glass, and she says, "Now we've come to the presentations of the evening. First, we'd like to honor for Miss Jennifer Bishop. If you'll please come to the stage, this is a small... trinket of our gratitude for what you've done through the year." And she pulls out this nice certificate and a plaque, and Jennifer makes, you know, just kind of a disgusted look on her face before it's smoothed over by a big smile, and she walks up to the stage and she accepts the plaque, and she goes to the microphone. She just kind of pushes Harriet out of the way.
Can you call Katie Green, please? Yeah. Just before you get too far, because Katie, you want to hear this.
You back, Katie?
Yes.
Okay. So, how much of that did you catch? Did you catch Jennifer going to accept her? Uh oh, did she drop again?
Yep.
Oh, unfortunate.
Right.
Give her a moment.
Yeah.
We pull out a gun and kill everyone.
I was going to say, we assassinate Katie Dare. Or not Katie Dare.
Samantha Dare.
And then we blame it on the kid.
Luckily, Samantha's... seems likely to me. So,
I think she dropped completely from Skype.
I think she said 1 second. So she's rebooting.
She may be rebooting.
Yeah. Or she may be moving to her computer instead of the phone.
So right in the middle of the exciting portion of the event.
Yeah, well, also it's about an hour and a half, so Frozen should be ending.
Yeah, that could be it.
Oh. Okay, try again.
All right. Are you back?
I think so.
You think so.
Okay.
All right.
I think so.
So what did you hear? Did you hear the part where Jennifer goes to get her commendation at the stage?
No, I dropped out a little bit before that.
Okay. So what happens is dinner ends, desserts end, and Harriet goes to the stage, and she's making the announcements. She calls up Jennifer to accept a token of their gratitude, which is a certificate, and she walks to the stage. Smile on her face, and then she kind of pushes Harriet out of the way. Harriet just, you know, clearly intended simply to give her the certificate and then her, you know, just go back to the floor, but she kind of pushes Harriet out of the way, and she goes to the microphone. She smiles out to the crowd, and she leans down, and just as she's about to say something, her eyes go just wide in her head, and she starts screaming and pointing. And then there's a general disturbance, so everyone's like, what, you know, looking around trying to see what she's pointing at.
Since I was pretty much on the opposite side of the room, I can look at her and whatever she's pointing at at the same time.
It's a bare space that doesn't seem to have anything around it. You notice that Agatha is kind of making her way over to that space, making little noises, as you know, kind of low down. You're close enough that you hear, "Here, doggy. Here, doggy, doggy. Here, doggy."
I would have thought the mental instability was inherited through Daniel's side of the family.
She's walking towards, like, just a black hole?
No, just an empty spot where, you know, there's not really anybody standing. There's no one there doing anything. And she's like, kind of leaning over to the ground as if she's looking and interacting with something that's low to the ground. And she's saying, "Here, doggy. Here, doggy, doggy."
So I'm just going to pick up somebody's half-eaten dessert and just throw it into the space to see what it collides with.
Okay, the two of you that had headaches early on, As you're staring into the space, it kind of your vision kind of swims for a minute. Headache comes on, just full on. It's not that sharp pain now. It's more like a dull throb at the base of your head, and it looks like the air shimmers for a moment, and then now there's something there. It's floating about 3 or 4 feet above the ground. It looks nothing more than like a disembodied brain with eye stalks and with little tendrils hanging out of the bottom of it. It's just floating in the air.
Sandro?
Nope.
This is Steam, Steel, and Murder. We're made of sterner stuff.
You notice some people in the crowd are now kind of staring and pointing at the same place as well, and some of the screams are taken up through the crowd. All right, so as you're watching... Ahead. Go ahead.
It's probably not the first time I've seen stuff like this.
So do we want to take turns on what we're going to be doing?
Well, let me describe one scene since no one's close enough to really stop this. As Agatha reaches down, as if she's going to pet the thing, one of the actors who apparently is seeing it as well, leaps forward and pushes Agatha out of the way just as she's about to touch it. And Agatha goes sprawling across the floor, and wailing. Just as the guy does this, whatever this thing is, one of the tendrils reach out. There's an arc of electricity, and he's reduced to ash on the ground. Everybody sees the guy, just this flash of electricity, and then he's gone.
Well, gosh. At this point, can I recall what I know about T-Rex? Yeah.
At this point, everybody can make me that roll now, which is
I failed, so never mind.
Yeah.
And my throwing of dessert into the general area doesn't help.
You didn't initially have the headache,
no.
So you missed it. You threw it in that area, but...
Aha, okay, so...
What did you want me to use for my approaches?
It's clever and discovery to remember what you might have heard about it. This includes Samantha as well, because you actually have gone through Cheka training.
So I got a +4.
Oh. I got a +2 then.
Okay. I also have a +4.
All right, so it looks like everybody except for the drunk Mr. Biggles remembers something about T-Rays, yes. And just for a recap, they are a radiation given off by a form of technology the 3R has created. It seems to create an instability in the environment. If you remember, some of the effects have included people phasing out and being able to pass through walls or ceilings. But then when the effect leaves, they're stuck, they're kind of interposed with other material they are trying to cross through when this happens. Some people have reported seeing strange things. You know that it's communicable. If somebody who's been infected with T-rays touches someone else, that it can be passed on. You also know, anybody get a really good success there?
Two of us got 4.
I got 4.
Yeah, both of you guys with 4s know that a electromagnetic field can discharge the T-rays.
Discharge T-rays meaning...
It will make them go away. It's, you can clean a thing or a person by getting them inside of basically like a Faraday cage and shooting a bunch of electricity around it, and it seems to dissipate the field.
Right. Thinking quickly, I realize we're dealing with the most terrible thing ever. Something that should be uninvented.
Well, you can't even see it.
Oh. Reacting, can I? Okay, are we going to initiative roll or can I do something?
Well, let's just go in order and tell me what people are doing. I'm just going to start with what I see on the screen. Steven, what are you doing? What is Mr. Vernon doing?
Vernon is going to charge over to Samantha Dare and usher her towards the painting so he can obtain both objectives and make a run for it at the moment.
Okay, you're across the room since you were by where the band was.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. You're doing that. Richard,
which is getting me closer to the event as well.
Yes. Richard, what is Warren doing?
So this place is lit by electricity, presumably. Electric light.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what kind of lights have we got here? Can I shoot out one of the lights and have... Or, sorry, shoot out the leads hanging the light and have the electricity arc down?
It has to be in a field.
So that's not going to work at all. All right, yeah. So I look around to see what there is that's electrical here that I could...
Okay, sure. You're basically assessing what's around you there. Yep. Samantha?
I am going to...
Oh, and you see it. You are one of the people that see it, by the way.
Okay, well, I'm going to scramble out of my chair and try and get to the child. Because even if I don't have one of my own, I am concerned.
Right, okay. Yeah, and she's been just tossed across the floor. You run that way. And let's see, is that everybody? Biggles.
Thank you.
Yes.
I am going to pull up my checker badge and pull my gun out, shoot into the air, and get command of everyone's attention. This is now a checker matter. You will behave orderly, and you will listen to my voice.
All right. Wow. We'll go in reverse then. Okay, yeah, you pull out a firearm, which is kind of forceful. So make a forceful socialize roll.
Okay, but yeah, I'm firing it into the air, you know, so it's not like...
In a blimp,
anyone.
By the way.
I was
going
to say, how are we
into the air?
Are we in a blimp?
Yes. Pass me. This is a blimp.
Oh, well, it's going to happen. I can't see where the other thing is because there's too many dice on the screen. I can only see three. There's a plus one to that. That's four in total. Plus, if I can use my boost from earlier, I'll use tag that as well.
Yeah, I'll let you do that, so... that avoids you blowing everyone up by discharging a firearm. It'll hit some paneling up top instead of rupturing the blimp. And so...
Hey, you were going to shoot leads, Richard. I don't see what you're complaining about.
It does.
Let's just shoot electricity sparks. Woo!
It does get everyone's attention. So what are you yelling? What are you saying when you do this?
This is now a chicken matter. You will behave in a responsible manner. You will back away carefully from that area and let us take control.
Okay. Good enough. Samantha, you go and gather up Agatha. Her mom is still on the stage, just screaming. She's continuing to scream, and she's screaming into a microphone, which isn't helping things. As she's pointing to several things now, as she's looking around the room and no longer pointing at one source. Samantha, you're now seeing several of these things starting to just coalesce out of the air. And as you do, other people that are seeing it that happen to be close by when they materialize to your view, if they touch one of them, they're just gone. There's like a blast of, you know, really intense light, and then they're gone. There's just nothing left but ash on the ground.
All right. Well, I am going to take Agatha and go to the closest goon.
One of your goons or just a goon?
One of my goons. One of my goons.
All right, we're going to say that's Vernon, since Vernon was angling towards you and towards the podium.
All right,
go ahead.
Got this child's hand.
So you're handing the child to me?
No, she's mine. I will hold on to this child.
She's mine now. Jennifer is no longer her mummy.
I start pushing Samantha towards the stage in the painting, and incidentally, Jennifer Bishop.
Yes, who is still screaming into a microphone.
She used to be an ex-agent. Oh, she sucks.
Good training for this.
That's what 4 years of being softwood does for you.
4 years of married to Bishop. Bishop.
I was going to say, maybe she's just releasing repressed memories. Oh my God!
The camel, the straw that broke the camel's back, or the camel that broke Jennifer's back.
All right, so Warren, you're looking around to see what you can possibly do. Go ahead and give me a mechanics and clever roll.
Mechanics, you say? Well, I'm not very mechanical, but I am pretty clever. And with a +3, that's a 5.
Nice.
You realize the inside of the dirigible has a frame, a metal frame, that would work quite nicely as a cage if you could electrify it without blowing up the actual envelope that comprises the blimp.
I was already thinking that, but the electrifying is the hard part.
Are you waiting on me to say something there?
Yeah.
Well, you have the information. I was going to say yes, so I assume that's what my turn, action, etc. is to do, to work out this information.
Going to run over to Vernon.
And then move on.
Okay. Vernon, since you were heading towards the stage, some of the band members are coming over and they're trying to pull Jennifer away from the microphone as one of them goes to try and turn off the loudspeakers.
Okay, and that's what I see?
Yes. And so you were heading that in that direction now with Samantha and Agatha in tow.
And how are they treating the loudspeakers? They're just trying to turn them off.
Yeah, they're trying to turn them off. One of them is kind of gently trying to pull Jennifer away from the microphone, who's now actually holding onto the microphone stand and screaming directly into it.
What is wrong with this woman? Maybe she knows. Does she know something we don't?
And the other two are basically trying to either unplug the microphone or turn off the amplifier, and they're kind of fiddling around with that. All right. So that's the setup. Jameis, since you got the crowd's attention, they were going to run en masse to the one and only elevator to the ground floor. you have stopped that from happening, at least until other people start seeing the creatures appear now.
Yep, I'll be directing as much as I can, because I can see them as well.
Yes.
You get away from there, you move over there, you get over there, you move over there. You set up tables to barricade against those creatures, you put table there, there, and there.
Okay.
Start directing operations.
All right. The creatures seem to, they float, and they seem to move very slowly. But if they're within reach of something, they strike out very quickly with their tendrils. But
how do they react to a table thrown at them?
They don't. The table seems to just pass through them.
Ow. Bloody T-Rays. But I don't know that. Mm-hmm.
You also see that the creatures float through some people who don't seem to notice them at all, and they're unaffected.
Hmm. Okay.
All right, we'll just go in order again. Richard, so what do you do?
Well, there's got to be power to the sound system, so I would like to run over to the stage, try dangerously ripping out the bottom of the whatever's powering it, and just try and put it on the structure.
Sure. In this case, the amplifier was not working on broadcast power. It was actually plugged into a socket, so you rip out that live wire.
Yep.
So we'll say that's what you can get accomplished this round. Right. You're holding a live wire in your hand. All right.
I look between the structure and Samantha. No. That's like my job.
All right, Samantha.
How close are we to the stage now?
You're right on the stage.
Okay, so I can grab Jennifer and smack her.
Yeah, right? I was wondering if
that would happen. Yes! We were waiting for something to do it, it better be you.
I am going to grab Jennifer and smack her.
So it starts as a smack to get, you know, that someone would do to bring someone back to their senses. And for some reason, it turns out just to all out pummeling.
Why are you holding a kid? Actually, it's with the kid. It's a club.
No, I just want her attention because being ridiculous.
Right.
I won't go crazy. I am the first lady of Metapol.
Sure. Give me a forceful and socialized role there. See if you can snap her out of it. I'll give you a bonus because you're holding your kid. You have a plus one.
Okay. Forceful is 0 and socialized is 2, so I get a plus 3.
Nice. So it ends up being plus 4. It's you give her a swift slap across the cheek, and for a moment she's stunned, not realizing what's happened, and then she looks at you, and she says, "You!" And then, you know, she cocks her fist back, and she goes into this fighting stance, and then right before she's about to pummel you, she notices that you have her kid in her hand, and then she kind of gets a control of herself. She holds her hands out for Agatha. She looks at you lovingly and says, thank you.
Pull yourself together, Jennifer. We are the example here.
Burr.
Oh, that happened right after the microphone got unplugged. Oh. All right. Vernon, what's going on with Vernon?
Vernon is observes what Warren is doing because they're pretty much... is Warren by us? Because he's at the sound system,
yep.
Pulled out the
wire. He's right below you at the bottom of the stage.
He cottons on to what Warren is attempting to do, and being the more mechanical of the two, is going to assist him. After directing Samantha, grab the painting, run! And he's going to try to plug the power into the framework, hoping that the plush carpets of Pasternak's keeps us from being electrocuted.
All right. First question. Richard, are you going to hand it over to Vernon? Or what I'm asking here is, who's going to actually do the deed and who's going to help?
Does it? I'm here. Yes. Do you want to do the deed? I mean...
I'll attempt the deed, yes. I have the actual mechanic skill, so...
Then I guess I'm just helping, because...
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
He gave me a good setup.
Well, you've got a hold of the wire. Vernon's probably directing you as to where best to put it, as he's, you know, with his eyes kind of looking at the frame and figuring, well, you know, if we put the electricity here, what's the likelihood of it blowing us all up?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So, Vernon, go ahead and roll to see if your eye betrays you or not. This will be a mechanics and probably clever. I would say quick normally, but he's not the one who's acting quickly. It will be Richard who will be acting quickly.
It's not a careful
mechanics
one.
Plus clever.
Yeah, mechanics plus clever for you to figure out where to apply it without it blowing everyone sky high.
Wish me luck, guys.
And take a bonus as Richard is aiding you.
What's the bonus? I rolled a 5.
Oh no! Okay, that's perfect then. So you're succeeding, you know, you basically an overwhelming success there. You're able to apply it. It creates an electrical field that basically shorts out everything in the blimp. And so lights go out. There is not an ensuing explosion, so you can only assume it worked.
Well, would it be in helium or hydrogen?
This time?
They actually had both.
Yeah, it could have been both, but I'm going to say helium, because this blimp actually just stays stationary.
Okay, then very little risk of exploding. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, hydrogen has better lift, but this thing doesn't really have need of better lift. So,
well, probably the Hindenburg also used hydrogen because they didn't really have access to helium.
Mm-hmm.
I think America actually had the most helium at the time.
Yeah, well, that's where we are. Essentially.
Hooray us!
All right, so it's dark. It's quiet. The screams seem to have stopped, except for a few people saying, I can't see it! Are they still there?
God, I hope not. Did I ever see them by?
Yes. By the end of this, everybody was seeing them.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So now what? We'll start with Mr. Biggles. You are standing in the middle of a cleared floor, having just discharged a gun, telling everyone to stack furniture here, there, and the other place.
Yep. Okay. Will the gentlemen please stack out their lighters and light up?
Okay. Well, yeah. There are.
I'm just thinking. I don't really smoke. I don't really smoke myself, so I don't see a reason for me to have a lighter.
Several matches that are lit. A couple of people have lighters, providing some pinpoints of illumination through the room.
Yep.
Very little.
And set fire to your nearest napkin.
No. All right. So we have improvised torches.
Yep. Okay. That's the best I've got.
it's very dim. We're basically looking at candlelight and pools through the floor here and there. But, you know, looking around, none of those things seem to be around anymore.
It works. So,
right. Samantha, what are you doing?
I am straightening my clothes. Okay. Like women do when they're irritated. All right. Good work, gentlemen. I say to my two escorts over to the side. Now let's see if we can get to the bottom of this.
To the left, you hear Jennifer getting off the stage and saying, "Did she hurt you, Agatha? Did that mean old lady hurt you?"
Mean old witch.
Like a quick yank to my clothing because that's irritating.
All right. Okay, so let's see. Vernon and Warren are occupied with what they were in the middle of doing there. So you're off the stage. You had to get off the stage to do that. So actually, Samantha, let me have Samantha roll a... Let's see. What would that be? Discovery and... Let's say discovery and careful. That's your paying attention to something that's happening.
One, two, three. I got a three.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. What was the total?
Plus three.
Oh, plus three total. Okay. So you do catch it as you're straightening your clothes and you're frowning at Jennifer, and she takes Agatha off the stage. Some of the band members that were on the stage were kind of helping out with things. You notice that they're making off with the painting.
I told her to secure the painting.
Yep. That's why she noticed.
I am going to shout stop and just try and run after them.
Okay, you're closest. You noticed it right before they started, before they get off the stage. So what do you physically do? They haven't gotten off the stage yet. You're the closest one to them.
I am shouting, trying to draw the attention of my bodyguards, and I am lifting up my skirts to go after them.
All right, so you're going to give chase. All right.
That gets the attention of your bodyguards.
You're fletching everyone.
Well, I'm shouting, stop, Mr. Biggles, and whoever.
Warren and Vernon will hear you because they're right below the stage, now holding on to a spent electrical cable that's no longer spitting out electricity. Mr. Biggles can hear this, but he's clear across the room.
Mm-hmm. I'm shouting for all of them in turn.
Sure, and then you give chase. All right, Vernon and Warren, how do you react? The lights are really dim, so you can't really quite see what's going on.
Unfortunately, the person we were told to keep alive is shouting for our help, so stumble blindly over towards the sound of the noise as quickly as possible.
Vernon, who was in the middle of trying to make an arc light, drops what he was doing and attempts to impose himself between whoever and the exit.
Okay, you don't see them. Since they were on the stage, no one there lit a light. All you can do at this point is kind of go after Samantha's voice in the hopes of, you know, going in that direction.
I also know where the exit is.
Yes. Well, you know where the elevator is.
Yeah.
No.
So is that where you're heading? That where you're heading? That's the one and only exit that you know of.
Entrances and exits to the room, not necessarily.
There are no other entrances or exits. So that
not,
is
not
far
to
as you know.
Like backstage or the kitchen.
No. That's why they had to bring all the food up pre-prepared for this. Normally, they do have a kitchen, but it hasn't been accessible for this.
What's the relation of the stage and the elevator?
It's on opposite ends of the hall.
Opposites end of the hall, so they'd have to go by me anyway, and I don't believe they are, so I go...
Oh, no, they don't. You're at the bottom of the stage,
mm-hmm.
and they're going off the stage in the opposite direction. At least that's where Samantha's voice is yelling from. So they're actually going away from you, not towards you.
Okay, then, and What's the method of getting onto the stage? A few steps?
Yes.
Okay. So I can race along with Warren on the bottom of the stage. Do I remember it being clear?
You remember it not being clear. There are a bunch of cables running, snaking on the floor.
Ah, wonderful. Well, I can race along and impose myself in between the stage and the steps.
Okay.
Well,
at the
bottom of the steps to intercept.
So the question is whether you will get there before they get off. So to me, that sounds like an athletics and quick roll.
Of which I have neither. Ha ha.
Woo!
Going for it anyway. Nope.
Okay. And what are you doing, Richard? Or what is Warren
As
doing?
I said, I'm heading over towards the sound of the screaming of our erstwhile employer right now.
All right. Actually, did you get a negative on that?
I got a negative two. Trip up in some cables.
You do, yes. You are bound up. You are bound up in the wires. You now have that aspect on you where you're bound by wires. As you step into a coil and just get caught up in it.
It's dark.
Yeah. Warren, so are you also running? Or are you carefully moving?
No, I'm getting over there as quick as I can because somebody shouted for our help.
Quick in athletics.
Huh. Well, I've certainly had a bit of training in this. Let's see how I do. That's a two overall. So, yeah, that's not too bad.
Right, not bad. And let's see how they do getting off the stage. Okay.
Can I...
go ahead.
I was going to say, can I tap my trouble as well?
What's your trouble?
Journalists rush in where angels fear to tread.
to say that you were a little quicker on your feet because of that, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, you can trap your trouble for good things now and then. That's fine.
So, yeah. So I'll make that into a four.
Sure. And which is just enough. You're going to equal them at their four as well. So, yeah, just describe it as you barrel into this group of three guys that are trying to make off with a painting. It's dark. You can't see a thing.
Okay, as it's dark and I can't see a thing, am I coming across the stage? No, I'm below the stage. Okay. I will make my way most of the way across there, and then right at the end I'll stumble into a chair. But fortunately, I push the chair so it's in front of the other guys, and they will stumble into that as well.
Nice. Yeah, you hear the sound of several grunts as several people in the dark there seem to have fallen over your chair. That leaves Biggles. Biggles, what are you doing?
How much of that did I hear?
You heard Samantha yell. That's pretty much it.
What did she yell? I can't remember again.
I was yelling everybody's name and saying, "Stop! Get them! The painting!"
Alright, well, as much as I have no idea what else, how they actually plan on getting out, I'm going to try and secure the exit and say, "Head waiter and busboys, over to me. We are going to secure the entrance so people can get out of here." So everyone's concentrated on the entrance now and knows exactly what will be happening in that area if anyone's tried anything.
Sure, and we'll say you're pretty close to it since you were trying to have a rush to it. Not a problem. All right, so we'll start the next round here with this big pile up. It's still we've got the scene aspect, especially where you guys are, because there's no one who lit a light or anything near you at the stage. So it's in the dark. And since Richard, you're right there, we'll let you act first or potentially first. What do you do? You know that your chair collided into one, at least a couple of men, maybe more.
So when I saw the painting, was it in a nice big frame?
Covered up with canvas.
I just continue stumbling forwards then into whoever is there, whether I walk into the painting or into the people. I just, as soon as I find something, I just start swinging at it, whatever it is.
Okay.
Bonus points for going through the painting.
Exactly.
Okay. Would you consider this a careful or a quick
approach?
No, it's
definitely not careful. I'm just going forwards.
Or maybe forceful, since you're swinging at
anything.
Yeah,
it's forceful.
All right, let's do a forceful combat roll.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Yep. And everybody gets the minus two for it's dark, including them.
Oh, this will be even more fun then. That's a negative two for me overall.
Okay, which I guess they don't need to roll. Yeah, so you're swinging, but you just haven't connected.
Well, if they get a minus something, then they're in trouble too.
Well, they're just trying.
It's their defense. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, you can still spin chips. Just as it is, yeah, you're just swinging blindly. You're not connecting with anything.
Well, the point is to go forwards until I walk into something and then start swinging.
Okay, so, well, with that roll, you're going to walk into something.
That's fine.
But right. Exactly.
Yeah, all right. I'll tap another aspect to make it a zero. I'm not particularly good at this, but I've got the front line will make a man of you. Sure, tap.
Okay. In which case, a zero hit unless they defend. Let's see. I'll give them a defense here. They've got the minus two as well. Oh, wow. That's lots of negatives. All right. So since you didn't let's see. How does this work again? Attack, you succeed. But since you got a zero, there's no actual damage. So let's do this instead. So you're going to make contact, and we'll say you can put a boost on them. So what would make a good, let's say it negates your penalty of being in the dark because you now have something to connect to.
Right, this is a temporary one-time tappable aspect.
Yep.
That's what the boost is. Right.
Yep. Since you've now made contact. So you've swung and you've hit something, just not enough to really stop them from doing anything.
Hey, I know where you are.
All right. Let's see. And the guy that you got a hold of, he's going to attempt to fight back at you. He's still going to get the negative, though, because he doesn't have the boost. He's going to actually make contact with a two. You can defend without any negatives. It's usually forceful, but I mean, you could be sneaky.
Yeah, that's.
Describe how it's going. You know where he is, and you know, because you're holding him, you know that he's swinging. So, yeah, how do you defend?
I think the best way I can do this is just to bear hug him so that he can't actually get a swing at me.
Sounds like forceful to me.
Yeah, forceful combat.
Sure.
Which I have nothing of, but hey! If I don't have the negative, that's a plus one. Otherwise, it's a negative one.
You do not have the negative.
And that's a plus one.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you successfully wrap him up so that he can't really punch you. Got a good hold of him there. Okay, let's go next with...
Doesn't he still do a one?
What's that?
He got two. He got two. Richard got one. So it still beats him by one.
Oh, you're right. You take one. He gets a rib blow in before you wrap him up. Samantha is also close, and you can hear the scuffling, we'll say. It's still dark, though. So what do you do?
Okay. Since I can hear scuffling, I'm going to assume someone heard me, and I'm going to stop shouting, and I'm going to try to sneak up and see if I can grab the painting.
Okay. That sounds like a sneaky athletics to me, since you're trying to... you also have to find it, so I'm going to give you a minus two because it's dark. But otherwise, sneaky athletics.
Okay.
Cool.
Zero.
Total of a zero? Okay.
Yes.
Well, when you're trying to... Let's see, this would be an overcome action. If you tie, you can succeed with a minor cost if you wish. I would propose that what might happen is, since it's dark, you get a hold of it and you find it and you start to pull it and, yank on it. But, the guy still got a hold of it. So the at cost would be the fact that, okay, so, you've got the painting in your hand, but then someone else does as well. So he knows that there's someone trying to pull this away. You want to go with that? Or you could just fail.
Let's.
Or you could tap something to make it more than a zero.
I'm going to tap the fact that I am not just a pretty face. I grew up with nine older brothers. That's in my bio.
Excellent. Sure. Yeah, that'll go. Okay.
So now I'm at a plus two.
Yep. So you snag the painting. All right. So, yeah, you've got the painting. It's still dark. Let's see. Vernon is still... you need to get out of the cables.
Roll to get out of cables?
Yep.
All right.
So how do you try and disengage yourself from the cable?
I'm like... like
sounds forceful to me. Yep. Sounds forceful.
Make
me a forceful athletics check as you...
Forceful athletics. I got plus one in forceful, no athletics.
Okay. Give me a roll.
Rolling.
One. One. Okay, good enough. You disengage yourself. Just as you guys hear the sound of shattering glass, and everyone feels a strong pull of wind come rushing into...
Knew it.
That's what I was afraid of. Couldn't do anything about it.
All right, so we will go next turn since you're still engaged, Richard. So you're in combat with someone right now. You've got a hold of him, got him in a bear hug. What do you do?
Well, there's this convenient window that's just been shattered near me. I wonder if he can go out the window.
You're gonna try and toss him through the okay. It's dark outside, so you still doesn't get any extra light on the situation, but you can feel it. You got a hold of him. That sounds like a forceful combat move to me.
Yeah. Probably. I haven't got any starting anything else is there. I can't remember how many chips we start with. I'm just
three.
Yep. Okay, good. I have got that right then. Well, that's a zero, all told.
Okay. Zero. Well, they'd have to defend. Let's go ahead and roll their defense and see which
one.
Come on,
go out the window.
He's still minus two, so it's minus two for him. So at a zero, though, on an attack, it succeeds. So, yeah, you just do it. That's fine. I'm good with that. So you basically just hurl him.
Yes.
He doesn't do the drop on his back, kick them over him maneuver?
No, he throws him out but forgets to let go and goes with him.
He strikes the window, and since I'm going to say you did... you got a flat zero, so you did what you were trying to do, but he got a hold of the sill and he hasn't quite gone out.
Well, hopefully he's blocking the way for his people to go.
Unless
they want to trample all over him. That'll be fun.
Sounds like a good result. Samantha, okay, so you just heard the sound of shattering glass. You know, you're feeling the hall fill up with wind as you guys are, you know, a goodly amount above the city. It's still dark outside, though, so it's still difficult to see. You got a hold of the painting. What do you do?
I am going to leave. I'm going to try and get away from the window, from the people who were trying to steal the painting, and I'm going to make my way towards Mr. Biggles and the exit.
Sure. You've been hearing him calling out to people, and you can hear most of the light is around him. So, yeah, you definitely have, you can see your way.
You let go of the painting?
No, I've still got it with me.
All right. Just navigating through the darkness there. Just make me an athletics. Oh, careful roll. Unless you're running. If you're running, then, probably.
No, I'm going to try and leave without really being noticed.
Oh, sneaky then. Sure. Give me a sneaky athletics roll.
The guy holding the painting might realize.
Now, the guy wasn't holding the painting because she spent the chips to get a close.
All right, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
I got a positive one.
Positive one. That'll get you there just fine. All right. Vernon, you're out of the coils. You just heard some scuffling, heard a man cry out, and the flow of air is disrupted a little bit. You still can't see much, though. What do you do?
No light coming out from the busted out window?
No, it's dark.
Starlight or anything?
Dark, and metal pole is foggy.
I thought we were above the fog cloud.
Well, yeah, but you've also got this floating city above you, too.
So. Oh, yes, that has worsened the fog cloud. I forgot. Time to back up my buddy Warren. So I get up there, and if it's not a small, scrappy guy, it's not Warren.
All right.
I'm going to punch him.
Okay, since you're saying you want to make sure it's not Warren, we'll call this careful as you're trying to pick a target.
Yes, I'm like reaching out, and I got my fist raised back, and I'm swinging out my other hand to like grab onto somebody.
Sure.
And we'll call it's like not somebody that's shorter than me by a good deal, because Warren's, how tall is Warren?
He's not as tall as you. He's pretty.
Vernon's 6'4" by.
Oh yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, let's call it a careful combat roll. And you're at minus two because it's dark, and you have yet to actually get a hold of someone who you're sure is not Warren.
One check.
I'm just saying, put your hand out and mush it on someone's face and try to get one of those and hit them.
Stand just... right there while I cock this other fist back.
Let's see. Yeah, I do have combat, actually. I forgot. I used my only experience gain for combat in the last game. So I got careful plus two and combat plus one for a plus three. Let's see how I do. Rolling.
Remember, you're minus two because it's dark.
Plus one, then.
Plus one. All right. They will try to defend. They also still are in the dark. They got a minus, so you hit. And plus one, you make a good solid blow.
Black.
Not enough to take him down, but you hear the oof as you knock the wind out of him and you get him in the gut.
And now I got a hold of him.
Yep, you sure do. Biggles. All right, so you feel you hear the shattering glass, you feel the air. What do you do?
I am going to start moving through the crowd, grabbing the torch and sort of moving in that area, going at the ready. Getting closer to see what I can see, so I'm not attacking anyone, I'm just getting position.
All right, and you will run into Samantha as she's trying to get close to you this round as well. So you two are together. Okay. At this time, you guys start to hear a drone outside of like the sound of an aircraft. This is, let's see. Hold on a second. Okay, there's two more guys. Okay, you are going to get attacked here. Well, actually, hold on. I'm going to make an even odd to see who, since I really can't see one. It's Vernon, actually.
Woohoo, bring
Vernon,
it.
Vernon, you're getting attacked. With the negatives for darkness, he's going to miss. One of the other guys doing something else. Okay, next turn. Richard? You've just thrown somebody bodily through a window. Let's see if he can continue to hold on. Let's just do that real quick. Oh, yeah, he's still holding on.
Cusses.
All right, so what do you do? You know that there's Vernon has shown up. You kind of know his scent anywhere. Old man scent.
Old man and pipe smoke.
And there's at least two assailants still here. You tossed one, and there's still two more here. And remember, you know all together that there were five bandmates, if they're all in on it.
Yeah, okay. I'm not interested in the people. I'm interested in either finding Samantha Dare or the painting. That's the two priorities here. I don't care if
okay.
it's going away. So
without taking an action, then, you can see, since she's now in the light cast by Mr. Briggles, who is heading towards the window, you can see them together, and she seems to have the painting in hand.
Oh, good. Then I upend a table to put in the way of people trying to break from our little group and run over to Interceptor. So I'm trying to create
an aspect.
Advantage, an aspect, yeah.
Yep. Call that...
Forceful.
Could be forceful. I could take forceful and combat or forceful and athletics.
Can I change my action?
Sure.
I want to grab the tablecloth and pull it off in the one swift motion and then wrap somebody up in it. That's better.
That's flashy.
Still
that's a flashy combat move. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to wrap up one of the guys that are here with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sure.
Stole them from going. Ah, take this. That's a horrible roll. That's a flat zero.
Wow.
Okay. You're trying to put an aspect on him, so Let's see, create an advantage at flat zero.
Yeah.
That's generate one free invocation on the aspect. So actually, you do it.
Yeah, in which case he's temporarily blinded, or no, wrapped up in the sheet.
Temporarily wrapped up.
Yeah. And yeah, next person.
Yeah, Vernon.
I've got something.
Vernon? No, you can.
Oh,
Vernon.
I'm next?
Yeah, you're still in combat there, so if you want to try and finish off the guy you got a hold of, you're also not considered blind for this because you got a hold of him.
Okay, can I see... what else can I see?
You can't really see anything else. You're only doing this by touch right now.
Okay, then I'm going to lay another fist in his face.
Go for it.
Don't have a knife, so I'd have to deal with the fist. All right.
Actually, I'm sorry. No, you still have the negative because you're actually not grappling him like Richard did. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still got the negative.
What role did you, forceful in combat?
Yep, pretty much.
Plus two.
He will defend. Is that a plus two with the negatives?
Yes.
Yep. So that succeeds then. And would have been already hit before. So, mm-hmm. Yep. Good shot under the chin. He goes down. And Samantha, what are you doing? You're with Mr. Biggles, who seems to be heading towards the window.
Mr. Biggles is moving away from me towards the window?
Well, he's heading towards the window. Well, whether or not you're staying with him is up to you.
How close am I to the table with our stuff?
Okay. Right there. It's right there.
Right there. All right. Well, I'm going to grab the gun that was in my bag because I heard the whirring, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So that's what I'm doing. I'm grabbing my gun.
Okay. Let's see. Mr. Biggles, since Samantha was running towards you and you had the light, it's now kind of obvious that she's got the painting in her hands. So you can see that there are a couple of guys heading towards you.
Okay, what I'm going to do is grab up a nearby flute of champagne, gulp, take a swig, and then spray it out over the torch. Painter!
You realize champagne has very little alcohol content in it.
Well, if there's some better alcohol, I'll grab that. But unfortunately, I don't think I quite have enough room to get my flask out.
That sounds flashy.
Just breathe on it. Sounds like that's got to be the highest alcohol content. Your breath.
Just breathe out.
Flashy what?
Yeah, probably. What are you trying to? What's the object? What are you trying to do?
Mainly to keep them back, to be honest, more than actually have them more than engagement. It's sounds like get it back from here. So it's a wave of flame coming at them. Back off.
Sounds like creating an advantage then.
That's it. Creating an advantage. Yeah.
Sure. Give me a flashy. We'll do it as a flashy combat role.
Okay. And is the scene we set from when we were dancing?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, so I can use my other stunt to give me a plus two.
Actually, I'll back because these guys would not have been impressed by you dancing. So.
Well, no. It just means I get to use my stunt again. That's all.
Oh, yes. I got what you said.
But I'm going to have to tap that.
for those four zeros you just rolled.
for the minuses. That's just bad.
Yourself to spit out alcohol.
I've been bar hopping around the world. I know a thing or two about how to get around and intimidate people. Won't be the first time I've used alcohol to do it either.
Yes.
That's at least a blank, which gives me a plus five.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I would have been the plus one anyway, but I'm not going to take a minus four.
So you're at plus five?
Yep. And create an advantage.
Generate two free invocations on the advantage. So we're going to say they're momentarily stunned. Just by the bright flare in their face for the sudden brightness, and probably because of the flames as well. So you got two free taps on that. if Samantha, okay, let's do this because that's kind of motion. Well, you had to dig through your bag. So we'll say you have your gun in hand, but that's the end of that action. Richard, you wrap somebody up this round. Yeah, that's everybody. Yep. So yeah, let's give them a go.
Come at me, bro.
Okay. The droning sound of an engine outside of the windows is very close now. It sounds like something is hovering next to the window on the outside, and a spotlight shines in through the window, highlighting the guy that's hanging on with one hand and casting a beam in that is going to catch Vernon and Warren as you guys can now clearly see what's going around you. Vernon, there's a guy that you just socked in the chin. And he's laying down there. Warren has just wrapped somebody up in a tablecloth. And yeah, okay, let's do that with Richard. What do you do? So there's a bright spotlight being shined on you right now.
So we can all see. Huzzah! The guy who is he still holding on to by fingertips into the on the window?
Yes, he is. Yep. Yes, he is.
I kick the guy who's wrapped up in the thing onto him and see if I can push both. I gotta go for this.
Okay. Yeah. And that would be pushing him right into that bright spotlight that's out there. Okay. You can remember you've got, you got the aspect on him, but you didn't get a free invocation. So it's there to.
I'm guessing.
No, wait, I'm sorry. No, it says generate one free invocation. So no, you do have a free invocation.
I am going to say that trying to push somebody onto somebody else so that they both fall out the window is probably a flashy move. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably flashy athletics because you've got to time it just right.
Okay. Well, I'm slightly better at athletics than I am at combat. And I rolled a +3 as well.
Oh, my.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah.
So if you tap
without
it.
Without anything. Yeah, I tap, nothing. Okay. I tap it as well just to hammer it home too.
Bye.
+8.
All right. Yeah, this is such a good success. All right. So what happens is, do you want to describe it?
Yeah, sure. When I'm going to do a kick into the guy's chest. I just step back a bit, and while he's trying to unwrap himself, I just raise up my foot, push it on, and kick him in the chest. So he stumbles back, hits onto the guy, and then as they're both going out the window, the sheet catches on the end and unravels. So that unravels and he's spinning round and round.
Right. So the fallout from this, the thing I'm going to tag on here, so they both go spinning out the window and you're hearing the bling, and then you hear a
oh.
Ow.
And you hear the engines whine a little higher for a moment, then go back to normal outside.
I'll put my head outside the thing and say, it's not the fall that kills you, it's the bullets.
Huh? All right, Vernon. What are you doing, Vernon? So there's one guy who's out groaning and holding his stomach below you here. Actually, since things are spotlighted, you can see that there are two guys that are kind of standing, blinking as they were heading toward Mr. Biggles.
What's the distance, you would say?
It's one zone. So it would take an action to, well, you can move one zone, so you can move and do something over there.
Would you say I would be able to, like, lift up the guy I already have in my hand and throw them at him?
What kind of rating do you have for forceful?
Forceful, 1.
No.
I have a stunt, elbow grease, which is +2 to pizza strength.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to tap that, ooh, you could do it. Hurling a full-grown male, you know, zone away, yeah. You'll need a might more than one, or a forceful more than one, but if you tap that, sure, that'll do it.
Vernon's a big, strong guy, so.
They also have an aspect on them you can tap now, too, that's got it's got 2 free taps on it that you could take.
Can do one at a time, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would you like me to roll? Forceful and...
That sounds like forceful and probably athletics, again, because you're having to time it just right if you're throwing it into another bunch of guys. And and to do it at all, you have to tap that aspect.
Stunt. So,
yeah, stunt, sorry.
Okay, so I got +3 for my forceful and the stunt.
Forceful athletics.
Whoops.
Forceful athletics.
Unfortunately, I do not have any athletics.
Mm-hmm. And okay, now, hold on. Before you roll the die, what is it you're trying to accomplish?
I'm going to try to knock out the guys that are standing there stunned by Biggs.
To knock them out?
Well, Knock them down, I should
okay,
say.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, if you want to do this as create an advantage, that would put another advantage on them that they're knocked down as well. That's fine. You can do that. If you want to do it as a straight combat, you can inflict damage, but, I mean, you'd have to take them out to actually take them out, if you know what I'm getting at there.
What do you say, guys? End the combat and take them out?
Up to you.
Yeah, you would have to do... You have a lot of taps you can use, so it's possible... But you would have to do an awful lot of damage to get three guys out.
And they get a roll
to resist, two guys, right? Because the one's already out. Yeah, they would get a roll to resist because it's actually combat if you're doing that.
I'll just knock them down.
Okay. All right. Trying to create an advantage. Go ahead.
Especially since I already rolled. I got a plus +3 on that roll without tapping anything further.
Oh, dear.
All right, so you hurl your guy, and basically it knocks into the two, and they go down, putting another advantage there for you to tap. All right, and let's see. I think that's this whole round, so we go to the next round, and we'll start with Samantha. Gun in place. Spotlight coming through the window. Actually, let me do one more thing. Sorry. They need to go themselves.
No, they don't.
All right. So at the beginning of your turn, Samantha, you hear the sound of there's another sound. It sounds like a rotor starting to spin. Everybody in the room can give me a roll on this. This will be a clever discovery roll.
Oh, dear.
I think I already know what it is.
3.
All right. Well, Biggles definitely knows.
Let's see. I got, you said, discovery
related.
Clever.
Of course I know. I'm a plane guy.
I got +2.
You got a +2. All right.
I'm +1.
No, that's good enough. That's a success. And Richard, how do you do?
Not very well at all, as I missed what you said.
There's a new sound from outside. Right. Sounds like something spinning up. I'm having you make a knowledge check, basically, to see if you remember from training what this might be. This is a clever and discovery roll.
When you say spinning up like that, yeah.
And yeah, that's
does it sound like a minigun?
So what did you get,
Richard? A 2.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that sound from training. That is, in fact, a gun spinning up and getting ready to spit out lots and lots of lead.
So, we've already had something spitting out lots and lots of lead from outside.
No, you haven't. Hold on, body chunks. Yeah, Richard, there hasn't been any shots coming from outside yet.
Oh, I thought that when I kicked the guy out... That was machine gun fire or something.
Oh, no, that was them hitting the blades of whatever was out there.
Okay.
I was wondering why you said the bullets would kill you. No, yeah. That's very off-center. What the hell?
I thought it was bullets. All right, okay.
They got turned into chunky salsa going out the window.
That's the blades. It's the stop.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you talking bullets? That's just weird.
You've got your gun in hand, and that's a familiar sound that you really don't like the sound of.
I am going to yell, get down, and then get down myself.
All right.
Drop to the floor underneath my table.
All right. Sounds good. Biggles.
I want to do something really crazy here. I really do. I shouldn't do it, though. How crazy am I?
Plenty crazy.
Pretty crazy. What the hell? I've got so...
Don't forget drop.
No guts, no glory. Okay, I'm going to drop what I'm holding.
Okay.
Run out, grab a table on the way, and use it as a shield as I jump over towards the plane and smash into the minigun.
All right, so you're going to grab a chair, and you're going to leap out the window with
table.
The chair.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's going to be a chair because I can't go.
You're going to anchor yourself in any way?
No, I'm leaping over to the plane.
All right, to the plane. Okay. Wow, that is definitely flashful, and let's have athletics to be able to clear everything just
it's
right.
It's a +3. I ain't no guts no glory, and this is fate.
Yeah, I'll give you a chip for that.
What's the final? I've only got 3 dice come up. Come on, what's the 4th dice? Currently I'm at a 3, plus or minus 1. I don't know what the fourth dice is. I see a plus, a blank, and a minus. Can anyone see a fourth dice?
There, it just came up. Another plus.
Woo! Plus
okay,
one.
It's a plus 1 then.
All right. Okay, well, a plus 1 4. Is...
No, it's a plus 1 to my roll, which is a 4.
A 4 total, okay. And so that's enough for spin. Yeah. Okay. All right, so you hurl out the window. You grabbed a chair or a table. Probably a chair. Table would kind of large on the way out.
Maybe a bit too hard.
Yeah. And so you make out the airplane hovering here, and so
I'm a pilot. That's mine.
you crash your chair basically into the minigun that's spinning up, and okay, so that all goes as you plan, but. I now need you to make me a quick athletics roll to grab onto something before you go flying.
This is where I might need to define what my other aspect is. Quick athletics. Okay, that's that.
Since you did well on the last one, you just need to succeed. Just a 1 point.
Oh, yep. No, I got a 5.
Oh. All right. Well, succeed with a benefit there. So you grab on.
Did he, like, jump into the compartment?
I was going to say, yeah, you grab onto the wing, and you make this beautiful arc, and you land into the cockpit, the passenger seat behind the pilot. Yep.
My plane now.
Okay, so Richard, Warren just saw his friend just leap out a window with a chair. You don't know what happened. He just leapt out the window.
Well, on the other hand, we're not being perforated with bullets.
Yes, on the other hand, you did hear some kind of grinding, chunky sound, and then you don't hear the spinning anymore.
I checked his papers earlier, and he didn't jump out with Samantha Dare or the painting, so I assume he's still on our side. So I guess I'll look around to see what else is going on inside then, because we probably still got some of those floating brain things still.
Actually, you don't see any in the spotlight that you see. Of course, most of the place is still dark. So if you want to hold for a moment, Vernon, are you going to do anything?
Sure. Take a chair to the guys I downed already.
Okay, yeah, you're going to go finish them off because they're not out of the combat. They're just downed. Sure. You're going to go smack them around a bit.
Flip a table on top of them.
Yeah. So you can probably intimidate them into giving up at this point with all the taps you've got on them and everything.
You can try that, or you can just pummel them with a chair, whatever you want to do.
I say give up and then pummel them with the chair.
All right, well, give me a forceful combat roll. You'll strike as if you've got a weapon, so you get a if you hit, you get a plus 1 to the damage as you beat them with the chair.
Oh, dear.
I was going to intimidate them, but something else came up.
I got a 0.
All right, now, they've got multiple free things you can tap. So, I mean, for free, you can get a plus 4 on that roll.
Let's do that.
All right, so we'll start there. They get their defense.
And then I get the plus 1 for the chair, so a 5.
Yeah. Yeah, if you hit, you have to hit first.
Well, if I use the taps, that's a hit, right?
No.
No. If their defense is 5, then you didn't make it.
No, their defense is 4.
Two
positive skill of 2. So what did you get total? A 4?
4.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's even, meaning you will end up doing a point of damage since you do hit. Oh, wait, actually, no, it's different. Attack doesn't harm the target, but you gain a boost on a tie. That's what attacks do now. Yeah. So you have another boost on them. So basically you're hitting them soundly about the heads and shoulders. Haven't done any damage to them, but they're having to stick up their hands and defend because they still can't see too well. So you're keeping them
still another stun to activate on them as well.
Yeah, that's true. If you want to,
you can't activate it now because you already activated it, but next round.
I don't have any other stunts, really.
Samantha.
Okay.
Biggles just jumped out a window. Vernon's here, smacking these guys upside down with a chair. They're not out yet, though.
I'm under the table. Now, I have 2 things that I can do. I can try and intimidate them to give up, or I can shoot someone in the leg.
Someone, just anyone, you know.
So I raise my legs.
I thought she was supposed to shoot people in the face. That goes against training.
No, no, no. That's Marlo.
Let's...
Jennifer takes one to the back of the head. No.
Well, I'm all the confusion.
I'm with you. From the cover of underneath... Well, from underneath the table, I am going to try and shoot one of the bad guys in the knee.
Okay, go for it. Let's see.
I want to take someone alive because they've ruined my party.
That sounds like a
careful approach. You intimidate them, you'll take them all alive.
Well, if she's attacking to specifically to not kill, then she won't kill someone.
I know, but if she wants to take them alive, just intimidate them all. I think you can do it.
It's up to her. Well, it's up to her if you want to
shoot. It's totally up to you. If you want to shoot someone, you go ahead and shoot someone.
No, I will
shoot
control
them.
Myself.
Shoot them. In the knee.
Because I am actually better at the social stuff, so I will come out from underneath the table, straighten my clothes, and say, "You are under arrest."
Sure, with gun and badge out, not a problem.
With the big guy with the chair.
Well, let's see. That sounds... it's definitely a socialized contest. Forceful is usually brute strength, so I'm not going to say forceful. If you do it with style and panache, it could be flashy.
I will
you
be flashy.
You did just buy somebody's table.
Yes. Sure. Go ahead. Give me a roll. Flashy and socialize.
That gives me a plus 3.
Okay.
Because I have things... Hold on a second.
Sure. That Agatha Bishop, always acting up.
Let's see. What does she have all to tap? One more.
It won't matter. They don't defend. So even at a plus 3, she's going to get that.
Yeah. They'd have fun.
You back?
Yeah.
Okay. I rolled to defend, so you don't have to tap anything else. They didn't defend at all, so at a plus 3, that's enough. So you need not tap anything else.
Okay.
All right, they surrender. Yeah, they put their hands up. They're looking at Vernon, like, don't hit us again with a chair, and at you, don't shoot us.
And the third guy's just...
Go ahead, Kitty.
Good question about.
No, Katie, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, from my bag, I'm going to pull out a couple of whatever you use for handcuffs and hand them and detain them.
There you go.
You didn't look inside
that
bag.
What about your relationship with Deer that we want to know?
All right. You want to do that, Vernon?
Yeah, I toss aside the chair, turn them over onto their stomachs, and handcuff them behind their back.
All right, sounds good. And... we will go to Bigel's.
Bigel's.
All right. You're basically in the co-pilot seat behind the pilot. He watched you do the whole thing, and now he's trying to go for a gun in his jacket, but he's also trying to keep the plane steady while he's doing it. So you go. You got heartless controls right there in front of you as well.
Yeah. Okay, let's go for a spin. And I mean that literally. Let's go for a spin. I'm ready for it. He's not.
All right.
I control planes.
All right. Sounds flashy to me.
Flashy what?
Probably.
Athletics. Athletics is for driving and piloting and stuff.
That sounds good.
4. Boom, 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 boom. Only a 2.
Okay.
Aw.
Well, if you want to tap anything to make that a better success, well, you succeed. You'll do a loop-to-loop, but it's really... I'll give him a defense roll. Let's see if he manages...
He's a better pilot.
Yeah. I've got plenty I can tap. I can tap.
So he's going to end up having 20. A 2. So what did you roll?
2.
Okay.
I'm going to tap the fact that I'm an ex-pilot. Mm-hmm. Because, I'm an ex-pilot.
Okay.
There you go.
Yep. If you tap that, that's enough. You do the little spin, and there's not really seatbelts at this point in time. He was unprepared for you taking care of doing the spin, and he falls out.
Bye!
Yeah.
My plane!
Parachutes were common either at this point.
Nope. They were invented sometime World War One later on.
Oh, then they would be around. They're just not common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll give him a chance. Oh, no, he's got one.
Okay. Well, he does until I fly into it.
Well, let's finish the scene outside. So, yes, he does deploy a parachute, and he's starting to drift towards Metapole below. What do you do?
Buzz's parachute, apparently.
No.
If I may ask, what kind of vehicle does he have?
It is one of these 3R planes that you guys have had some experience with, as they had captured some, and you have been shown the workings of them.
So it's a gyrocopter, or?
It's modified, but yeah, it's capable of staying in place. It has basically reverse blades on it that'll keep it more or less in a stationary place.
Okay, I'm going to just trail him so he can easily see that I'm watching him, and just mouth him, give up. Because I'm going to just follow him down otherwise.
Sure. I mean, you can basically just, follow him down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll just let that play out inside. Yep. Everybody that's not been turned into salsa by plane blades outside has given up and is being cuffed by Vernon. Samantha seems to have an endless supply of handcuffs coming out of that bag.
I assume Vernon had at least one.
Yes.
Mary Poppins bag. That's an aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is one of my stunts.
It is one of your stunts. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Beautiful.
You're holding.
So what about the T-Raid brains, flying brains?
Gone.
Yep. They're not here at all.
Not that you see. Nope.
Well,
you know that you would have disrupted them with the electricity.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's more of a case, since everybody made the roll, it's more of the case is that once the T-rays are dispersed, you're no longer kind of offset in dimensions, as it were. So if you can't see them, they can't interact with you, and everything's good.
But it doesn't shunt them into our dimension. It shunts.
Nope.
They could still be here. They just can't interact with anything ever again.
Yeah. Well, no. The idea is that they're always there. They're everywhere. It's just you can't normally ever interact with them. But under the influence of T-rays, you are able to. So, like, these things populate like the dimension next door, as it were. It's they're always there. But without having your brain influenced in a certain way, you never interact with one another.
So, these are aliens rather than mechanical devices created by 3R.
Yes. At least that is the
current scientific... That is the theory. Okay.
That is the current scientific theory, yes.
Do we assume we safely degaussed ourselves as well?
It seems like it, yes.
Well, I think
we're hoping. Otherwise, we're all dead.
We're phoned down. There's got to be a phone system between here and the ground. And we say, hey... get the T-Ray degaussing stuff for everybody who was at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those bodies which fell out the window.
Yeah. There actually is both a telegraph and a phone line that dangles beneath the Zeppelin, so that's easily done.
He's doing that, I'm also trying to get some lights back on.
That's not happening.
I can't make an arc light.
You've shorted out all power, and you would not... did you actually bring your little kit with you?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say investigator's bag at the beginning.
Fair enough. Then, since there's broadcast power, you can whip up something that can take advantage of that.
Basically, I take two bits of carbon, run electricity to each of them, and hold them together close.
Yep. And
it creates a spark, arc light.
Mm. But the rest of the place is shorted out. Its broadcast receptors are just completely shot, so it's not able to pull any more power.
Okay.
Luckily,
so that will last very short.
Well, no, you're. I'm assuming that you've got a device that can pull broadcast power in your from your bag.
Okay.
You put that together, and you've got something.
Well, you also got that Babbage computer as well, which is probably a broadcast player you can tap into.
Yeah.
If we're are we stuck here for a while we're getting rescued?
I'm assuming the elevator has separate power, at least to it.
Yeah, it's got its own. It's you know, a good 15 minutes, but not any longer than that before the Cheka roll out and take control of the situation. You've got your guys in custody, those that survived. And yes, Biggles, you basically landed next to the guy who parachuted down. He surrenders as well.
I would have got him to throw away his gun before he went down. Otherwise, I would have threatened to chop his parachute up. So,
yes. <done that. laughs> Right, so you round them off. You're brought back under quarantine just in case, so that you're aroused again.
Well, once someone explains to me T-rays and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember that course. I was drunk during that course.
Yeah. I was drunk during every course. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to do a wrap up here. And so what ends up is the device, there was basically a canister inside the Babbage piano that exposed momentarily everyone in the room to the T-rays, then was sealed up again so that the exposure wasn't constant. Under questioning, you find that the idea was under the confusion they were going to make off with the painting. They themselves, the clothing that they're in actually has a clever degaussing. Basically, it's got some wires threaded through the threaded through their costumes, and so the whole time that the rays were being sent around, they were being degaussed. So they were fine, and they were pretending like they were getting headaches, etc., while this was going on.
I was so close. Oh, well.
Yay. further information from this, the Cheka are basically going to do some more in-depth questioning to find out, you know, why... What's so important about this thing, etc. And that I am going to post on the forums because it's going to be an integral part of the next story.
Is there a schematic posted on this inside of the painting?
I'll give that to you now. Yeah, as the painting, once they actually remove the oils, basically strip the painting off, there is a schematic diagram of an underground base of some sort. It doesn't tell where it is or what it is, but it's a 4-level deep schematic of a base.
We're taking your award away from you, Samantha. I'm afraid you get nothing from this evening. Not even a crappy little... thing that Jessica, or Jennifer got.
She got a plaque.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was wrong. That totally makes up for this.
What's a painting for a very exciting evening?
I suppose it's a...
I'm fine.
A tale you can...
I have plenty. No, does the questioning of our bad guys give us any clues to who they're working for?
Once again, let me post this on the forums because I'm going to use it as a lead-in to the next thing.
One thing that I would like to have question of them is show them the other people we have found in this race to see if they're all working together or if they're different people or what the hell is going on. Because... what the hell is going on?
We don't know.
Yeah, we've got no idea how many factions are involved in this, or who is searching for the paintings with the mysterious schematics, or what's going on.
The Madonna with the big boobies. And
yeah. We're not going into... All right,
guys, I'm going to call it here. I had double-booked myself, so I actually am running another game in 10 minutes. So.
All right. Woo-woo. Oh, quickly, how do we do?
You did just fine. The alternate of this is if you were just completely suspicious of things, and I had a contingency if you actually never got through the party at all. If you, so that was there, but I enjoyed the fact that you actually got through the whole party instead of going the jackbooted thug approach. Which you were warned not to do, but you could have still done it.
It was tempting.
I got this. So I think I beat Marcus with his... I flew on the wing of a plane. Really? I jumped into a plane and flew it myself.
There you go. Anyway, I need to say goodbye, guys. Yep. Hopefully everyone had fun, and I will post again for the next session when that might be. Hopefully, Katie, you can join us.
There is hope.
There is hope. Yes.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.